Universe, the most banned network in the world.
First part of life is about trying to escape from the conditions of birth, recognizing that there are material restrictions, and then feeling that maybe social and cultural roots will provide a solution. You know, maybe if I become a star, if I have material means, if I can get myself to Hollywood, if I can become a stand-up comedian, if those things play out for me, maybe I'll be okay. But all the while, as a drug addict, first of all, and then a recovering drug addict, recognizing there has to be a greater spiritual solution. And because I'm a drug addict in recovery, and because I'm from an ordinary background there in the UK, recognizing that there seem to be these systems of authority and control that you have to navigate and negotiate and deal with, even if these are simple little things like school and law and order, and that they claim moral and ethical supremacy, but you see that perhaps they're being controlled by other ulterior or somehow transcendent systems. Then, you know, for a minute, the hedonism is enough, the drugs are enough, the promiscuity and the access to favors and delights and pleasures and distractions and prestige are enough. But because of that sort of spiritual yearning that any recovery drug addict or alcoholic will know, any seeker will know, there's a kind of sense that this is not it. This was never it. Of course, success, personal individual success, is never going to be enough. All the while, amidst this, I'm still occupying peripheral spaces as a person in recovery. I'm still educating myself with people like you and David Icke, listening to renegade voices, reading esoteric books, looking at credible academic sources, as well as people like you that suffer smears and condemnation and attacks that aren't perfect, that make mistakes, don't we all, damn it? And starting to aggregate and accumulate and curate my own purview that's like, hey, there's some sort of, there's a radical movement available. There's a radical movement available if you're brave enough to participate. I held up Bill Hicks's book for a moment while you were talking, not just because of the ongoing conspiracy theories that you are the risen ghost of Bill Hicks, but because he's such a great American voice, such a brilliant comedian, such a important and vital radical, such a brilliant evangelist and preacher. So first, poverty. Second, infatuation with materialism. And finally, ultimately, very slowly, like the dumb person I surely must be, the recognition, acknowledgement, and awakening to the fact that if you are not able to tackle personal attachment, personal egotism, personal longing, then you cannot be a servant of the many available causes, but the one ultimate cause, our vital fight for free speech, our vital fight for personal sovereignty, our vital fight to be able to create a marketplace of ideas that isn't brokered by bureaucratic forces that claim that they're there to help you, that ultimately seem to be there to control you. Thank you for the great work that you have done, Alex Jones, and the personal price that you have paid in ensuring that these spaces continue to exist.
But Russell, what I think you say is key. You've come from nowhere but a top Hollywood star, huge comedian, done everything, and now you've been turning for years against it. That's a message to people that feel like they can not only get success with the system. I think what I'm getting is you're saying the system is broken and is gone, and now it's the exodus out of the system, and there's that kind of wild, you know, move away from it. But I think it's that process, though it's helter-skelter, that's going to take us to the next level.
That's right. The system will ultimately choke you. The system will only favor you, adorn you, and celebrate you as long as it can utilize and exploit you. For a moment, it's easy. Any person with an ego will think, wow, my success is based on the fact that I'm fantastic in some way. But it was a friend of mine who said that when you see yourself on a billboard on Sunset Boulevard promoting a movie and you see your name up in lights, you think for a moment you must be some real hot shit. Then you realize it's just the inadvertent side effect of someone else making money from you.
At Real Alex Jones on X.
Cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale's going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
An honor and a privilege to be here with you, the great InfoWars audience, the great InfoWars crew, on this Friday, June 21st, 2024, Alex Jones Show transmission. And we are absolutely loaded. Let me just lay out what you can expect from today's show. We do have more clips of Alex, so we're going to be hearing more from Alex throughout this broadcast. I have Roger Stone coming up in about 25 minutes to talk about deepfakes and who really does deepfakes, and then some of the latest fake news attacks on him. And then in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Robert Epstein, who would probably be the leading expert, and there's some other people out there and some other whistleblowers, but I would say Dr. Epstein is probably the leading expert when it comes to how Google manipulates search engine results, specifically with an agenda to influence or manipulate a presidential election. And without going into too much detail, because we'll be covering it in detail with Dr. Epstein in the second hour, you can imagine an American out there that's maybe not informed, maybe ignorant on some political developments and issues, using the number one search engine in the world, Google, to try to figure out what's going on. And then Google can manipulate what they see by censoring their search result algorithm so that you only see negative Trump things and positive Biden things. And he has the historical knowledge of how they've done it in the past, and he's going to be talking about how he figures they could do it in this upcoming election as well. So that's going to be very important. Now, on top of that, and those guests, a lot of big news, big political developments, and some of this I see as a good thing, some of it I see as a bad thing, but what you basically have going on, not all members of the Republican Party are entirely bought and paid for and or cowards. You do have members of the Republican Party in positions of leadership that actually do see the threat the country is under and at least are doing something about it. It might not satisfy what we think needs to be done. It might not be enough, but it's something. It's something, and it's more than what we've had in the past, and I see it as a trend going the right direction. But okay, while that's going on inside of the Republican Party, now the Democrat Party and the deep state is going farther in the opposite direction. So they're engaged in more outright corruption. They're engaged in more political persecution. And we've been warning about this for a while. They're not even hiding it anymore. The Biden administration is labeling Trump supporters as domestic terrorists now. It's official. We have the government documents. They want to label all Trump supporters as domestic terrorists, and they've done it in the past. And so this just sets the table. However, you know, the pieces may fall, it sets the table for them to arrest thousands of Trump supporters, hundreds of thousands, millions even. They'd love to if they could. They've already gotten away with a couple hundred. I don't know how many January 6th political prisoners they've had. It's definitely in the hundreds. I don't know if it's eclipsed 1,000 yet. I've been one of them. And there are more coming. But think about that. See, that's the problem is it's hard. You really have to let these things just you have to think about 10 million illegal immigrants since Biden has become president. 10 million. Think about that number. 10 million. That's more than the population of many U.S. states. 10 million. But so that's what I'm saying. DHS documents, they wanted to label Trump supporters domestic terrorists. They wanted to treat Trump supporters like domestic terrorists. You, an American citizen. The vast majority of Trump supporters probably have no criminal history, not even a speeding ticket. But you're a domestic terrorist now. Why? Because you're against the Democrat Party politically. Because you don't vote in the interests of the radical American left. Now, what is this really about? Obviously, it's not about stopping crime. Democrats aren't about stopping crime. This is about completely eradicating the face of this nation from any opposition to the American left, to the Democrat Party, to the radical liberal progressives. And of course it is. Because you cannot exist as a Democrat, you cannot exist as a leftist without being a totalitarian. And you cannot successfully be a totalitarian when you have a resistance that is a political body. So it has to be completely eradicated. And so that's the phase of the game you're at. But again, so you have the Democrats going full leftist, full authoritarian, full totalitarian. And now you finally have some life out of the Republicans that realize this is going on. And so they're trying to do some things to push back against it. So we'll get into all of that. Also, some developing geopolitical news in Ukraine, in Israel. And really, again, the American media is completely missing the picture. Most of them didn't even cover what Vladimir Putin has done in really, you could say, the last month, but specifically the last couple of weeks. And it'll probably be official, maybe by the end of the year, if not next year, that Vladimir Putin has assembled Eastern leaders into a bloc that is going to rival NATO. And so that's basically the master diplomacy that Putin has been engaged in. And China is still kind of the interesting situation. Russia and China exactly don't, they're not meant to be together, but because the West, specifically the United States of America's leadership, has been so anti-Russia illegitimately, Russia's kind of forced into bed with China, even though they really don't want to be in bed with China. It's just the situation they've been forced into. So now, you're going to have China, you're going to have Russia, and of course, now he's visited Putin, Vietnam, and North Korea, and there's going to be other groups, and they're basically going to form now an Eastern bloc that will rival NATO, and they're going to say any aggression, and we don't have the official documents yet, but the word has been any aggression against North Korea or Russia or Vietnam or anybody else in this new bloc, they will respond in kind, all of them together. So it's now, you now have NATO, which is already defunct and it should have been shut down decades ago. Russia tried to join NATO to basically nullify it and get closer to world peace. And then Western leadership, European leadership came in and ruined that from happening because they just love war so much. And so now Putin has basically had the Eastern NATO is forming. That's what he's doing right now. And when you consider that on top of the BRICS system that he has a major hand in forming as well, well, what do you get? You got Joe Biden who shits his pants is what you get. That's what you got. You got Anthony Mayorkas who says your border is secure. You've got Rachel Levine, a dude that dresses like a woman who's in charge of the U.S. Health Department. You've got Anthony Blinken who goes to Ukraine to play, to jam, have a jam session on the guitar. Do you get where we're going with this? We have joke leadership. While Vladimir Putin is a master negotiator and diplomat and running laps around Joe Biden, who has to have his diaper changed every day by noon. So we're going to get into that too. And all kinds of other developments. And maybe I'll get into this whole thing. A lot of people upset over what Donald Trump has been saying lately. And I can explain it. It doesn't upset me one bit. Maybe I'll get into it. Maybe I won't. I understand political purism, but I warn against it because it's a cancer to any political movement. And really, political pragmatism is where you need to be. But let's do this. Because of all the things that we're witnessing, this has to be the most obtuse. And I feel like it's just so over the top. We're talking about illegal aliens. We're talking about illegal border crossings. We're talking about the largest invasion in the history of the world. And it is. It is the largest invasion in the history of the world happening at our southern border. And there's all kinds of things you can sit here and shame a liberal over. I mean, they're despicable people, the things they support, obviously, the lies they believe and tell. But what is happening at the border? I mean, it's safe to say next week, another American citizen will be killed by a illegal border crosser, an illegal alien. Maybe two. Maybe it'll be another young girl that gets raped and strangled and drowned in a creek. So this is so out of hand. This is so in your face. And it's reached a point now where every single Biden supporter, every single member of the Biden administration needs to be shamed, needs to be brutally shamed, brutally, publicly shamed for what they have done. As another young girl gets raped and murdered, this time by Venezuelan illegal aliens, probably gang members, released from a Venezuelan prison, come across our southern border, released into America, rape and kill a 12-year-old girl. And every single Biden voter and every single member of the Biden administration is drenched in blood. Now, I would argue that maybe Mike Johnson has some blood on his hands here, too. In fact, he definitely does. Republicans have blood on their hands here, too, because they haven't done enough to stop this. Obviously, it still goes on. So Republicans have blood on their hands dealing with the open border. But the Democrats and Biden and his administration, they are drenched. They are almost drowning. They are swimming. They are treading blood. Now, hundreds of American citizens murdered by Biden border crossers. So let's just put it into perspective. Because this is chaos, is what it is. And I don't want to hear this garbage, because this is the response. Oh, there's no chaos. Things are still normal. What chaos are you experiencing? Oh, really? There's no chaos? How about I play for you two clips of the family members who have just lost loved ones because of a Biden border crosser killing their family members? You want to tell me their lives are not in chaos? Are you going to tell me that the family of a 13-year-old girl in New York that gets raped at knife point? Are you going to tell me that the family of a 12-year-old girl in Houston that gets strangled, raped, and drowned in a creek? Are you going to tell me that their lives haven't had chaos introduced? Are you going to tell me they're not going through some chaos right now? You sick, demented, blood dripping from your fingers and your nose and your eyelids and your hair, Biden voter. So here they are back to back. First, the 64-year-old who was just killed by an illegal alien who was deported 16 times, deported Biden border crosser, kills a 64-year-old. First, we'll hear from his family, whose life is now in chaos. Then we'll go to the mother of the 12-year-old, sweet little 12-year-old girl, whole life in front of her, strangled, murdered, and killed by a Biden border crosser. You want to tell me that their lives are not in chaos? Go ahead and roll clip 2 and 3 back to back.
He was just young. He was only 64, and I just want everybody to know my dad was fun. He was an awesome dad. He was an awesome grandfather. He left behind a grandson and a granddaughter, and they miss him. We're all going to miss him.
Officials say Cruz Mendoza was in the country illegally and did not have his commercial driver's license.
There is a lot of layers to this that goes from the federal government down to the state and local government, where there's just a lot of things that are falling through the cracks to make sure that our drivers that are on the roads are safe.
Miller's family tells us he was a truck driver himself who always urged safety on the roads.
Since I was a kid, always told me to be careful of driving around trucks, especially in the mountains, because it takes an extreme amount of skill.
Jeremy's getting a sled ride.
His loved ones say this is all just the beginning of a push for justice and awareness.
Jocelyn was a fighter. She fought hard. And she needs justice. Yeah. She didn't deserve this. And she needs to be rested at peace.
And those two men are out there right now. What would you want them to know?
So, that'll pull at your heartstrings, won't it? That'll send some emotion through your human soul. That is, of course, if you have one. I guess if you're a Democrat at this point, a liberal progressive, you might not even have a soul. So maybe that doesn't affect you. But it affects us humans. And again, Republican leadership has blood on their hands with this too. Let's not forgive them for allowing this to happen. They've allowed this to happen. But the Democrats are just swimming in blood. I mean, they're the ones bathing in the blood of the innocent. The Republicans are just kind of there and letting it happen and got some blood on their hands and maybe a little bit on their clothes. But the Democrats are just, I mean, they're just head under blood. So, I don't expect this to happen, but there needs to be all, I think it's 48 Republicans in the Senate, and whatever 100 plus Republicans in the House, and every single one of them needs to stand on the steps of the U.S. Capitol and do a press conference and highlight these innocent Americans that have been killed by illegal alien Biden border crossers. And they need to speak with conviction and passion. And they need to just shut down the government until this thing is fixed. It's out of control. This is ludicrous. This is insane. And as sure as I'm sitting here in the InfoWars World Headquarters in Austin, Texas, there will be another innocent American that gets slaughtered. There will be another innocent American that gets raped by a Biden border crosser, probably next week, definitely by the end of the month, but certainly it's going to happen again. And these pigs in Washington, D.C. do nothing. And these demons in the Biden administration, these heartless, soulless demons in the Biden White House do nothing. They do nothing. It infuriates me that this is how corrupt and out of control our country is. And it breaks my heart knowing that another mother will weep. Another daughter will weep because a Biden border crosser is going to murder somebody they love. And the average member of the United States Congress couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. Truly a shame. They did arrest the two Venezuelan Biden border crossers who abducted and raped that 12-year-old girl. What do you think their punishment should be? Greg Abbott, who's facilitated this for most of his term as governor, only recently has done anything to stop it, says, kill kids in Texas, you get the death penalty. That little girl would be alive today if Biden enforced immigration laws at the border. Well, I don't disagree. Do you think the death penalty is appropriate for you if you rape and murder a 12-year-old girl? Is the death penalty even enough, though? Do you think the death penalty is even enough? And what about those that facilitate that? If you delivered a young girl to a rapist and a murderer, wouldn't you be hauled into a courtroom or even a jail cell as well? Wouldn't you be facing charges for aiding and abetting in that crime? How come the individuals responsible for bringing these criminals into the country, how come they don't suffer that fate? Maybe if they did, this whole thing would stop. Rachel Morin, another woman killed by a Biden border crosser in the last month. Her mom recently blasted the DHS chief for calling slain daughter an individual. Says Biden administration hasn't even reached out. Trump actually did call the family and expressed condolences. So Trump's paying attention. Trump called and wished them his best. Nothing from the Biden administration, though. They're not interested. They couldn't care less. Mother of five, by the way. Mother of five. And the numbers just continue to get out of control. You know that app that they have? The CBP app? The official data has now come out. 1 million. 1 million Biden border crossers have entered the U.S. via the CBP One app. 636,000 at the ports of entry. 462,000 have flown in on an airplane. And these are the ones that they say are lawful, legal entries. So these aren't even quote-unquote illegal entries, even though they all are. 10 million illegal border crossings under Joe Biden. 10 million. These are clown world numbers, folks. But of course they are, because you're in the clown world. Your government's run by clowns.
Everybody knows, unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere for 20 years, that fish oil does incredible things. But not all fish oil is created equal. Most fish oil has been pasteurized. It's been boiled. It's been heated up, and they smash the bones and guts of the fish, and it gets contaminants in it. We sell the highest grade fish oil there is, and it's pure fish oil, and it's not been pasteurized, and it is so good for your whole body, your cardiovascular system, your brain, energy, everything. Next level quality, ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com right now. And for a limited time, it is 40% off. Ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. I just want to encourage you at the same time. This is really good for you. So it's a 360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get ultimate fish oil.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity-fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com,
please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure Water Filtration Systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all Gravity Fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines. The power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. To make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world. A decent world that will give men a chance to work. That will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world. Let us all unite!
I just want to acknowledge your leadership and your ability to see around corners. Again and again and again, you have been labeled as a conspiracy theorist and a nutcase for speaking the truth that you were able to perceive earlier than many people. And I'm in your debt, and I think we're all in your debt for your courageous actions over these many years. You've been vilified and denigrated and gaslit and everything else. I've received a small taste of what you've been through, and I don't like it very much. So I certainly appreciate and empathize with everything you've been through, and thank you for being the hero that you are and not backing down in the face of all the crap that's been thrown at you.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to this live Friday edition of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone are about to take over and break down a really important story. Now, I know most of you are going to say, okay, you're telling us that MSNBC and CNN and the New York Times are lying. Tell us something that we don't know. But this story is important because it's a window into their increasing hysterical desperation. Like when they said, when Trump was running for office in 2016, that he said he hates all Hispanics. Where was the clip? Didn't exist. Was a lie. Just like they say, I sent people to parents of dead kids' houses and had people pee on graves. No evidence, no people going to houses, no peeing on graves. But they don't care. They just hammer the narrative out until some people still believe it. And that's why the corporate media is dying. But in the case of Roger Stone, this same Democrat Party operative who openly works for the Democrats but pretends she's a journalist, records Supreme Court Justice Alito basically saying, screw these people. We'll fly a flag upside down if we want. And they go, oh my God, it's so secret. We caught a mother so evil. It makes me like Alito a lot more that he's flying upside down flags in his house, or all the sneaking around, or the leaks we've seen out of the Supreme Court. All of this is about the establishment going after Americans that won't roll over to their tyranny. Well, in the case of Roger Stone, this woman goes to a Catholic event at Mar-a-Lago, records people, and then misrepresents what the recording obviously shows. Same thing Roger says on my show almost every week. That they're going to try to steal it again, that we've got hundreds of thousands of poll watchers, we're going to be in the courts filing,
We're going to be exposing them when they put forward fake ballots or ballots that are, you know, signed and postmarked 3 days after an election. All that is illegal. Just like they're trying to have illegal aliens vote and Zuckerberg's database and all the censorship. So they act like it's a secret to go, oh, look, there's a recording of Roger talking about the election. They're planning to steal it. No, we're saying we're not going to let you steal it. And it's 100% clear what he's saying. So you're going to see more desperation of this. Remember a month ago, oh, they're about to release the N-word tape, just like they did in the last election. Never happened. So this is the complete chicken with their head cut off level hysteria. Just like 2.5 weeks ago, they tried to shut down InfoWars without a court order. It was totally out of control. Then they denied it, but then weeks later in court admitted it. So look for more absolute total desperation with what, 136, 137 days left, the most important election in world history. Here's a clip from MSNBC, just a sample of the total deception. The woman can barely even put her words together because she knows she's gaslighting. Then we'll go to the clip, and then Roger Stone takes over right now with Owen Schroyer. Be sure to follow me, Real Alex Jones, and spread the word, folks, because this is an information war.
I'll tell you the same thing I saw her. We're working on it. We're working on it.
What?
Lawyers, judges, technology.
Governors?
Some, but there aren't many letting go.
We got to use every lever we can.
We are doing that.
Hi again, everyone. It's 5 o'clock in the East. Lawyers, judges, technology. Those are three words that encapsulate just how Donald Trump and his team plan to steal the next presidential election, in their own words. The man you heard on tape, in his own words, is Trump ally and pardoned criminal Roger Stone. He was speaking at a Catholic event in March at Mar-a-Lago, where Roger Stone was the keynote speaker. He made those comments thinking he was talking to a fan when he was actually speaking to progressive activist Lauren Windsor. She's the same woman who obtained recordings of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito that we played on this program last week. The recordings of Stone are just as alarming, if not more so, because he speaks about direct actions in the works, plans that have been drawn up on the part of Trump and his allies. The plan they have to contest the next election results based on the false claim of voter fraud. Listen to his conversation with Lauren Windsor's colleague, who was posing as a fan of Stone's earlier that same night.
What's happened
just nice? In some states it'll be easier to stop. In other places, at least this time, when they do it, you have a lawyer and a judge whose phone number standing by so you can stop it. We made no preparations last time. No. That may not be this. There are technical and legal steps that we have to take to try to have a more honest election. I'm not there yet, but there are things that can be done. It's a long conversation. I'm hoping that changes in state law, real time voting, monitoring, going to court as we just did to challenge some of the voters. The election's not tomorrow. We went into court to sue in Michigan over the handling of ballots, which we sued in half a dozen places.
All right, so this is MSNBC playing some of the tape. Honestly, it's hilarious to me. Nicole Wallace, what an absolute hack. That just cracks me up. And here's some of the headlines. Roger Stone joining us now. Undercover audio capture Roger Stone bragging about how Trump will contest 2024 election result. Law and crime. Trump confidant Roger Stone caught on secret tape talking about Mar-a-Lago judge and the real reason trial delays matter. Daily Beast. Roger Stone caught on tape discussing Trump's plan to challenge 2024 election. Rolling Stone. Lawyers, judges, technology. Roger Stone touts plan for Trump to win in secret recording. Oh, yeah, talking about having free and fair elections and talking about legal ways to do it. And by the way, everything he says on that tape, he said on his own show or on InfoWars, on my show, now on the Alex Jones show. So, I mean, this whole thing is really just hilarious, Roger. Secret recording. I mean, they can go to thestonezone.com. They can go to your show that airs on weeknights, and you say the exact same thing. It's not secret. You publish it yourself.
Yeah, the only thing that's alarming is the stupidity of Nicole Wallace's interpretation. But, you know, Owen, when you are simultaneously attacked in Rolling Stone, The Daily Beast, Newsbreakers, the UK Daily Mail, Law and Crime, Newsweek, and now The New Republic, this is my favorite. Roger Stone seems to imply Trump totally controls Judge Cannon. I obviously said nothing whatsoever of the sort. You're absolutely right. There's nothing in these illegally recorded videos that I'm not saying in speeches that I haven't said right here on this program. Stone has a secret plan to steal the election. Not what I said at all. I said that the Republicans need to use every technological and legal aspect to ensure we have an honest election. I say it constantly. So I think Alex Jones is absolutely right. This is desperation. Also, by the way, I think I'm a revenue source. Since almost every one of those publications is losing money, I'm a guaranteed clickbait. So they collect a few shekels, a few nickels and dimes by distorting what I say. By the way, real reporters, when they write about you, they contact you for a comment. That's what real reporters do. Virtually none of these outlets ever reached out to me for comment. This woman, Lauren Windsor, who's kind of the self-styled James O'Keefe of the left, she's, in fact, on the payroll of the Democratic National Committee. I published proof of that yesterday. So this is a tempest in a teapot. It is, once again, a complete distortion. Everything I said was completely and totally proper. I did predict incorrectly, based on my reading of all the filings in the so-called documents case, that I thought that the judge would dismiss the case. By the way, I turned out to be wrong about that. I said that in March. More recently, Judge Cannon, who I quite obviously do not know. I mean, we do both live in the state of Florida, but that's about it. Actually rejected a motion to dismiss it. So I turned out to be wrong about that. I expressed what is known as an opinion based on reading a lot of legal documents. The best story on this is on InfoWars. You see it right there. The Democrats' undercover video, which they're so breathless about pushing in all of these outlets, it is a giant nothing burger. I say nothing here that I haven't said in speeches across the country.
Now, is that photo, is that the girl that was secretly recording you in that photo there?
I think it may be. I mean, there were two different instances. They evidently, way back last year at a conference that I spoke at, Turning Point USA in Palm Beach, I think they approached me there. And then this woman approached me at Mar-a-Lago. Frankly, she was a pain in the ass. And she kept trying to draw me into some January 6th conversation, which I was not having. Nothing even remotely improper about what I say. In fact, I really hope that the Republicans are on their toes when it comes to using technology, for example, to clean the voter lists so that people who don't exist or people who are registered to a vacant lot or people who have died or moved out of state are not able to vote, particularly with mail-in ballots. The reference to judges is very, very clear. I remember on election night 2020, when the Democrat officials in Michigan closed down the voting center in Detroit, had the Republican observers physically removed by the Detroit police, and then dumped in 330,000 mail-in ballots that seemed to miraculously appear out of nowhere. Now, had they been prepared, you would need to go to the court for with an emergency motion. But, of course, you can't do that if the court is closed for the night. That is why a good lawyer would know how to contact a judge. The judge could make a decision regarding the merits of your motion. Nothing illicit about this, but this woman, Joyce Vance, who's kind of the female version of Andrew Weissman, she says, according to the New Republic, Stone is implying that Trump totally controls Judge Cannon. No, never said anything even remotely of the kind. So it's the same garbage we have seen. But Jones is right. It's desperation that you smell, folks. They are desperate. They realize that they have a candidate who is deranged, who's not mentally there. I think we're going to see this in the upcoming debate. They have an economy that is in a shambles. They can post their doctored inflation and employment records all they want. The American people don't feel it. They're not feeling it for good reason. They realize, the voters also, that gasoline is, I don't know about you, where you are, Owen, but $4.69 a gallon here in South Florida. You can go to the grocery store. Your dollar just doesn't go as far as it used to go. There is no affordable housing available virtually anywhere in the country. And we're, as you know, we have a fentanyl crisis, a crime crisis, a fiscal crisis based on the fact that this administration has opened our southern border to anybody who wants to come into the country. So the backdrop for Joe Biden or whoever the Democrat actually turns out to be defeated is kind of obvious. That's why I am being attacked today. I saw a movie once in which I said, I revel in your hatred, because if he did not hate me, it would mean I was ineffective.
Well, maybe you can take that photo to the courtroom. It'll be ironic when you sue these people for illegally recording you. Maybe they can sign the photos of you together. That would be fun. And I think maybe the evidence that this is desperation is, it's likely that they weren't even going to publish this stuff because it's nothing. I mean, it really is a nothing burger, and they weren't even going to publish it until recently because they're so desperate. And so my guess is they were like, all right, just go ahead and publish it. I mean, if you're going to do an undercover recording like this, there needs to be some sort of a controversy, kind of like the Disney undercover recording where they say we don't hire white people anymore, or the undercover recording of the Biden administration saying, yeah, there is a replacement. We're bringing in third world people to replace white Americans. That's a controversy. That's what you expect from an undercover tape. Both those came out this week, by the way. But there is no controversy with your tape. And so that's what's so crazy. But on the issue of the vote coming up, and this is the real issue. And I don't know if you saw the Republican legislator in Michigan who's caught the Democrats already engaging in a planned rig to steal Michigan. But first let me address this. I hear all the time, well, why should we expect there to be a different result from 2020? Republicans have done nothing. And I retort, Republicans haven't done nothing. They've actually done quite a few things. Now, I don't know if it's going to protect the elections effectively or not, but I see that they are doing things, hiring lawyers, poll watchers, taking action at the state level to make sure that they can't engage in the same scams that they did in 2020. So, I mean, what do you agree? How do you respond to the question Republicans have done nothing?
That is just categorically false. There's a great piece in Just the News last week about a number of judicial victories where some of the election laws and some of the practices that we saw in 2020 were successfully challenged. Precisely what I'm talking about when I talk about the judges, the courts, and technology. Just to give you an example, the Florida Republican Assembly, I'm working with them on a team on election integrity. They have a very sophisticated program in which they were able to review all 15 million registered voters in Florida. And you know what they found, Owen, is there were 1 million post office certified undeliverable addresses. Well, there's a high probability that those people don't exist, yet they voted in 2020. So it's a perfect example of what I was speaking about. And the Republicans are, I think, getting on offensive footing. They need to be. Poll watchers, a closer readiness so that if they spot anomalies and irregularities, we don't hear about it 3 weeks later. I think they're going to be ready for this election. And again, I even say it in the tape, the purpose here is to make sure we have a free, fair, honest, and transparent election. Stone outlines his plan to steal the election. No, that's not what I said. Listen to the tape. You see, I said nothing of the kind.
Or listen to your show. Audio clearly there. You say the exact same thing. So, and I don't know if you'd heard about this or not. This video has been seen millions of times in the last 2 days. Michigan State Senator Jim Runstad is furious today after Democrats pass a new bill that changes 70-year-old law and prevents the Board of Canvassers from investigating election fraud. So essentially what they've done in Michigan is there's no way to audit a vote. There's no way to recount a vote. They can just do whatever they want and then, oh, it's certified. Clearly they're going to try to steal Michigan. I don't know if you've seen that video. But this is the type of stuff they're engaged in because they know they can't win in a fair election, Roger.
Yeah, and it's ironic because I look at the comments saying, how come Stone doesn't talk about winning the election with votes? Well, I think that the efforts of the Republican National Committee to maximize the vote, make it too big to rig, to beat the cheat, have been excellent. Yes, one of the answers is to find get out every single legitimate voter who is for Donald Trump and the Republican ticket. That, I think, is being done. In some of these other areas, I think we have to be more aggressive, but no place did I suggest anything that was either illegal or improper, but that's what they're trying to imply. And now, claiming that I had some inside knowledge judicial decisions or contemplation of Judge Cannon is ridiculous. I said nothing of the kind, and as I said, my prediction that she was going to dismiss the case back in March turned out to be incorrect. Now, there is, as you probably saw, today and next Monday, the judge in the Florida case has scheduled a hearing to determine whether or not Special Counsel Jack Smith was legally appointed. I'm sorry, they can say on the left, that's ludicrous, that's ridiculous. No, I think the case law is pretty strong. I think the legal argument is pretty strong. Former Attorney General Ed Meese and two very respected law professors, neither one of whom are Trump supporters, have filed a very compelling motion with the U.S. Supreme Court and also with the court in Florida. So if that were to come to pass, if Judge Cannon were to rule that that Smith's appointment was improper, illegal, and that ruling were to be upheld, then yes, all of these charges against Donald Trump in both Florida and D.C. would be dismissed. So I could turn out ultimately to be right. But this is based on my reading all of the filings and following the news. It's not based on some inside knowledge. I will respond to this lunatic Joyce Vance's attacks on me on Substack and an answer to her on Substack. But you're right about one thing, Owen. All of these conversations that were surreptitiously recorded, that was done in violation of state law. It is a Class 3 felony. So we shall see. It's not a matter I'm going to drop.
All right. Now, I love how this hack, Nicole Wallace, when covering this BS story about you, no voter fraud, no voter fraud, no voter fraud. There have been a dozen Democrats arrested for voter fraud this month alone, literally charged with voter fraud. So this whole, there is no voter fraud is just a laughable thing. I don't even know. The news reporters apparently don't even follow the news. So you can either respond to that or in the final 4 minutes, I want to throw this one out for you too, as we're now less than a week away from the first presidential debate. Roger, the big story heading into this presidential debate is not policy, controversy, you know, what is Trump going to do or say, or Biden is going to do or say, or they're disappearing him for a week to get him all hopped up or, you know, plug him into a wall, a power wall or something. No, the big discussion is, can Biden even make it? Does Biden even have enough physical stamina and mental stamina to make it for 90 minutes? That's the story. And so when that's the story, you know your campaign is not going well.
No, the other half of this is the insane claim that all of these things we're seeing with our very, very own eyes, those are not deep fakes, but cheap fakes. So when they use AI to create these ridiculous audios of me several months ago, all of which were proven with sophisticated AI detection software to be a fraud, that, of course, gets no coverage at all. But anytime you see Joe Biden drooling or mumbling or wandering off Well, that's fake, folks. That's been created. It's ludicrous because they're really trying to tell you, don't believe what you see and hear with your own eyes. People, I invite people to go listen to this audio of me. I didn't even say anything controversial. But we have now whipped that up into a frenzy. I'm not sure, Owen, what's going to happen. I would think that Joe Biden is, I'm not sure how he has the stamina to stand up for 90 minutes. I'm not sure.
Well, they're going to be sitting down is the word. The Biden demanded that they be sitting down for the debate.
Clearly they're trying to goad Trump, who realizes these rules are completely rigged against him. I mean, you have Jake the Fake Tapper, and Dana Bash as the moderator. So when you add Joe Biden, that's 3-on-1. Trump's a brawler. I think he'll win anyway. But it really is high stakes here. Usually high stakes, for Biden. Also high stakes for President Trump. There's never been a debate, this early prior to either one of them, being the actual legal nominee of their party. Now, the Republican Party will definitely nominate Donald Trump, even if he's in jail in this ridiculous New York case where I think the judge could jail him. I'm not so sure that Biden will be the Democratic nominees. We discussed on the War Room just the other day. But a lot of that may hinge on his performance right here in this debate.
Yeah, and maybe that's why the Biden team or the Democrats, whoever, pushed this debate so early so that if Biden has the massive failure, they can pull the hook early and nominate somebody else. But Roger, final 60 seconds, I had this kind of devilish idea come into my mind, and maybe somebody should advise Trump to do this. I think Trump, when they come into the room and they're supposed to sit down, I think Trump should just stay standing. I think he should just stay standing. And if they're like, hey, you need to sit down or whatever, he'd be like, no, I think I'm going to stand. And if they demand to be like, no, I don't think Biden can stand for 90 minutes, so I'm going to stand. Imagine the debate starting like that. I don't know, Roger. Am I crazy?
Look, the only thing predictable about Donald J. Trump is that he's completely and totally unpredictable. But I have a high confidence he's going to go into a situation in which the rules are not beneficial to him and he's outnumbered and still emerge as the victor.
All right. Well, it's certainly a fun time to be involved in politics and fighting for the future of this country. And it's Roger Stone, a legend of American politics and a great friend of mine. Roger, thanks for joining us today.
Owen, by the way, great looking necktie. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. And if you do happen to maybe send a message to Donald Trump, say, hey, Donald, just stay standing. Just stand up until they tell you to sit.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, Vitality Enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
This is so, so important. Please remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're listener supported. Your purchases at InfoWarsStore.com allow this powerful, game-changing information on the air, and they're really great products. InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamineral Fusion sold out, but a little bit more is coming in a few weeks, so that's a bummer. But Nitric Boost cleans out your blood, so good for your heart, your brain, everything. It is back in stock, 40% off. There is, of course, a lot of other great products like the Ultimate Fish Oil, highest grade fish oil at a great price. So good for your whole body. So good for your brain. So good for your cardiovascular system. So good for your sleep. It's available as well at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll free 888-253-3139. And while you're there, get 10-hour clean energy that is amazing. Turbo Force at InfoWarsStore.com as well. Get a copy of one of my two newest books. The Great Reset and the War for the World, and the newest one, The Great Awakening, The Plan to Defeat the Globalists and Launch the Next Great Renaissance.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
If you look at the globalists in D.C., which I know you know well, they are the complete opposite. They are on delusional, crazy power trips. And to me, there's nothing more dangerous than that with people that are megalomaniacs and think they're invincible who also have nuclear weapons.
Exactly. There's nothing. Really, that's the way that people destroy themselves. I mean, humans are distinct from the animal kingdom in one meaningful way. They kill themselves. Animals don't. You know, no dog has ever decided to, you know, to kill himself. It never occurs to a dog or to a porcupine or to any other animal, only to people. And they always kill themselves in the same way, by imagining they have powers they don't, mistaking themselves for God. And I mean, this is just the most consistent theme in all history. And again, men are prey to it in a way that women generally aren't. Obviously, Torian Newland would be a huge exception, Hillary Clinton. I mean, there are exceptions, but the male temperament is particularly susceptible to the delusion that, you know, I'm Jesus. And those people are the most dangerous. And you're right, when they have the power to destroy the world, which they do, you know, they're terrifying. And we are, by the way, just since you brought it up, we are on the cusp of nuclear war with Russia right now. We are actually on the cusp. We are closer to nuclear war right now than any time in history, far closer than the Cuban Missile Crisis. And the reason is really simple. We're targeting mainland Russia. We are attacking Russia, the nation. We are in a hot war with Russia. So from Putin's perspective, which is basically unknown in the United States, and they're completely committed to preventing you from knowing what Putin thinks or says. But if you pay any attention at all, you know that Putin is dictatorial, of course. He is not an absolute monarch. He is not Kim Jong-un. Putin cares a lot about his approval rating in Russia, a lot. That's why he controls the media in Russia. And Putin has for 2.5 years done everything he can to minimize news within Russia of attacks within Russia. There have been a bunch of assassinations, for example, in Moscow carried out by the Ukrainian intel services. That's a fact. Okay. Dugin's daughter was murdered with a car bomb in Moscow. There have been others, and Russian media has ignored those attacks. Putin does not want to seem weak in front of his country, in front of the Russian people, period. And so my point is, Russian media, if you watch it, has been downplaying NATO attacks on Russia. If there is a NATO attack within Russia that he cannot keep from his people, it becomes obvious that he can't protect mainland Russia from NATO. He'll launch a tactical nuke into Ukraine, a nuclear weapon into Ukraine for the first time in 79 years. We are very, very, very close to that. And if that happens, of course, it'll set off a chain reaction and we'll have a nuclear war in which you and I and our children will die. And so we're right there, right now. And that's not reported anywhere in the U.S. media. Our leaders either know it and don't care because they're on a suicide trip. I agree with you, I think. But the average person is not bent on suicide, doesn't want to die, doesn't want his kids to be incinerated, doesn't want to live in a post-nuclear wasteland. And the average person has no idea that that's happening right now. And I just think it's the most astounding thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
And if you add to that, Biden not knowing what planet he's on, and for people that don't know, you've studied this, your guests have studied this, mainline analysts agree we're the closest nuclear war we've ever been, and we have an establishment that has this normalcy bias that they're invincible or that Russia will back down. You're absolutely right. Putin, for those that don't study the situation, is a moderate and is restraining the hardliners, and the vast majority of Russians, over 80%, want full-out war. And people that don't know, Hitler went to be defeated in Russia, Napoleon, the Russians were the frontier with the East and stopped all these Mongol and then Islamic invasions. And so the Russians are very serious when it comes to being attacked, and they will attack. And so this is not like some, you know, Iraq where we've cut off the resources and are, you know, murdering them with starvation and they can't fight back. This is the largest nuclear power, and this is beyond playing with fire or poking a bear. This is, I was texting you a few weeks ago and I said, yeah, it's World War III. And you said, it's the final war. And I think that term, I hadn't heard that before. It's right. We had World War I that was the war to end all wars. We learned it wasn't, but this would be the final war, as you know, your very famous, quantum mechanics expert once said, I don't know how World War III will be fought, but I know that World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones.
At Real Alex Jones on X.
cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast, a 360 win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, the sale's going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word because without you, we are nothing.
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
I'm Dr. Robert Epstein. I've been to Texas many times because my late wife was from Corpus Christi. She was killed, unfortunately, under suspicious circumstances the day after Christmas in 2019. It was during that year that I also first testified before Congress. Senator Ted Cruz was leading that session, Senate Judiciary. It's also that year that I gave a private briefing to AGs that was led by Ken Paxton. It was at Stanford University. After I came out of that hearing, one of the AGs approached me and said, "Dr. Epstein, I don't mean to scare you," he said, "but based on what you told us, I think you're going to be killed in some sort of accident in the next few months." I was not, but my wife was. This could have something to do with the research that I do, because what I'm going to tell you now is how you can make Google and other companies accountable to the public.
Robert Epstein has found is that Google has systematically manipulated search results, and they do it particularly to influence elections.
I believe the threats posed by Google are so serious that everyone needs to know about them.
A new study says that Google's search algorithm could actually help steal the presidency.
The controlling of algorithms on Facebook, Google, and TikTok, and what people can see and search is a huge deal.
People blindly trust high-ranking search results over lower ones.
If their search results favor one candidate, that can easily shift the opinions and voting preferences of undecided voters.
They have to manipulate their search results so that it gives them their political agenda that they want.
The biggest potential manipulator in this election is Google.
Google's algorithm is fixing what you're actually seeing. This is the key point.
I'm telling you that it's much bigger and badder than you could possibly imagine.
If we don't stop them in the 2024 election, Google alone will be able to shift between 6.4 and 25.5 million votes to one candidate.
Google is out here rigging our elections. And if they're not stopped, they're going to do it again.
The point is that we're capturing all the evidence. No one's ever captured the evidence before. We really are their worst nightmare.
MyGoogleResearch.com is the website to find more information. That was Dr. Robert Epstein that you heard from there testifying and doing interviews. He is my guest joining me now. Some other websites for information, AmericasDigitalShield.com. TechWatchProject.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dr. R. Epstein. And I think it's fair to say that you are probably the leading expert when it comes to Google's manipulation with their search algorithm in order to get a desired election result. Now, do you think we are sitting here on this June 21st, 2024, and Google has the power to sway a presidential election, specifically the 2024 election?
They can do so easily.
Is there anybody inside of Google that may try to stop this from happening, or is everybody involved?
They have a very homogeneous culture there. So there's no one who would want to stop it. And in fact, I just heard this morning from a potential Google whistleblower, because I'm in touch with people who haven't even blown the whistle yet, estimating that Google will shift 20 million votes in this year's election.
Well, let's kind of get a little background here. How did you discover Google's power manipulating elections, or why did you decide to start looking into it?
Well, I've been a researcher for 25 years. I publish in top peer-reviewed journals, so my work is very rigorous. My PhD is from Harvard. And about 12 years ago, I got a bunch of emails from Google saying my website had been hacked and they were blocking access to it. I, as a coder, since I was a teenager, I got very curious about why I was hearing from them, first of all, who made them the sheriff, and secondly, how were they blocking access? I was just interested from a programming point of view, and I got more and more interested in all aspects of what Google does, and by the end of the year, I was actually in writing calling for Google's regulation, and early 2013, I started to conduct what we call randomized controlled experiments to measure, precisely to measure the power that Google has to shift opinions and votes around the world. In that very, very first experiment that we conducted in early 2013, I predicted that we could use biased search results on our Google simulator to shift voting preferences of undecided voters by 2 or 3%, which of course doesn't sound like much, but in a close election, if you can shift that percentage of undecided voters reliably, well, then you can flip the outcome. But we didn't get a shift to 2 or 3%. We got a shift. I keep saying on the air, I keep saying 43%. I just looked it up yesterday. It was 48% is the shift we got in that first experiment. So I thought it was a mistake. We repeated it. We got a shift, I think, in the next experiment of something like 63%. This was the beginning of a long line of research studies which have been published in peer-reviewed journals, which show 10 different techniques that Google has access to, exclusive access to shift thinking and behavior and attitudes and beliefs and purchases and votes. So yes, I know more about Google's abilities to do such things than anyone in the world, but it's very, very stressful research. It's very scary stuff that we're discovering over and over and over again. We actually just made our latest discovery just a few weeks ago. People have no idea. People have no idea what is going on. From my perspective, Google began significantly to undermine the free and fair election as of 2012. Not long after that, they really took over. So if in any election, if you have a projected win margin of 4%, so let's say the Republican candidate is ahead by 4%, 4% or under, that outcome is determined always and completely by Google. Over 4%, Google has to fight harder. Gets more difficult for them if the spread is larger than 4%. But 4% or under, that's theirs. They own it.
Well, yeah, I mean, the way you're describing it, and I think people can can kind of feel this way themselves. I mean, you look at the power of Google, you look at the money. It's like a James Bond villain, or like a comic book movie villain. This enterprise that is Google. Let's kind of use a practical example, maybe from the 2020 election. So would this be like when the Hunter Biden laptop was coming out, Google would manipulate its search so that you can't actually see the contents of the laptop or any fair coverage of the laptop? All you would see is intelligence community says Hunter Biden laptop is fake or Russian disinformation. Is that a practical example of what you're talking about?
Yes, they suppress content, they demote it or they delete it so that people don't see it. And since 93% of search around the world is done on Google, that makes an enormous difference in what people see and don't see. And what our experiments show, that based on what people can see and cannot see, that has a dramatic impact, not on everybody, but on the people who are still trying to make up their minds, the undecided. And in elections, it's the undecided voters who determine the outcome. That's why all the money and all the resources for the campaigns gets shifted to the swing states the closer we get to an election. So we've done very extensive monitoring of content that Google and other tech companies are sending to people in swing states in the weeks leading up to each election. And we have been building up a massive database of incriminating data showing that these techniques that I've discovered and named and quantified over the years, Google is actually using these techniques. We know that from our monitoring projects.
You've met with attorney generals. How many attorneys general are interested in this? And are they taking it seriously enough?
Well, there's a lawsuit right now in progress against Google by literally, I believe it's 50 or 51 attorneys general. And, I've done briefings for attorneys general. I'm in regular touch with several of them who really are focusing on these important issues. So there's a lot of interest among the AGs, and the AGs can make a difference. They, as I say, they have been filing lawsuits. They just filed another one recently that was headed by Ken Paxton, who's the AG of Texas. I just testified in a hearing before the Texas State Legislature that very same day. By the end of that day, the relevant committee voted unanimously to serve subpoenas on both Google and Facebook. So yes, the AGs are helping. Some members of Congress get it. They can't act, unfortunately, because they have to. The only way they can get things going is if there's bipartisan support. That's pretty tough to do, considering Google owns the Democrats. And Republicans don't like regulation. This was explained to me by Ted Cruz. So I'm in touch with lots of people at this point, with election integrity groups, parenting groups, because we have evidence of massive indoctrination campaign by Google on our children and our teens. So there are people concerned. I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy, I think you just played a little clip from him a few minutes ago. He gets it. Carrie Lake gets it. There are lots of people who are finally getting the message. Now, let me just shift gears a little bit here because you might not like what I'm going to say, but I have to say it anyway. A lot of my new conservative friends, because my liberal friends and relatives won't even talk to me, even though I am a liberal, but my conservative friends often seem obsessed with all kinds of issues like ballot stuffing and ballot harvesting and Dominion voting machines and things like that, which are important issues for sure, but they're not really substantive issues. They're not the big issues. And that's why a lot of the claims that Trump and his people made in court after the 2020 election were thrown out of court. Because these are not necessarily big issues. A lot of these dirty tricks are, first of all, they're competitive. Both sides use these dirty tricks, always have and always will. The net effect of these dirty tricks is usually pretty small, in the thousands usually.
But Google is shifting voting preferences on a massive scale. They're shifting on the scale of not thousands, but millions. And what they're doing is not competitive. It is not competitive. In other words, if Google wants to support a candidate or some party, there's nothing you can do. You can't counteract it. It's not like television ads. You know, if your opponent buys a television ad, you can buy two television ads. But if Google wants to use its powerful techniques to shift opinions and votes, guess what? There's nothing you can do. Now I'm going to say the thing that you're not going to like, but it's true. The obsession that a lot of my new conservative friends have with these, what I call smaller issues like ballot stuffing, the obsession that these people have is actually engineered by Google. Google makes those stories go viral. So does Facebook. Just as they can suppress a story like Hunter Biden's laptop, they can accelerate a story. They can elevate a story by making it or allowing it to go viral. They have complete control over that. People think it's, you know, virality is somehow under our control. No, it's controlled entirely by their algorithms. So when you see a story, one of these conspiracy theory type stories, you see it spreading like wildfire in conservative media. That's because Google and to a lesser extent, some other tech companies want you to focus on those issues. They want you to look over here. This is exactly what magicians do. Look over here, they're saying, because they don't want you looking at them. That's another form of manipulation that they use in a brilliant fashion. And they have fooled millions of conservatives with what I call relatively small issues.
Dr. Robert Epstein is my guest. Now, is any of this illegal? I mean, is this where we kind of run into problems? How do attorneys general deal with this? What is the potential illegality? Is the angle maybe campaign contributions in kind? Because, I mean, this is billions of dollars worth of work that they're doing for the Democrats. But then their excuse is, oh, we were just told by the intelligence communities that this is the case. So, I mean, what is the action? What is the action they're thinking about taking, or what is the action that they need to take using the laws?
So these are key questions that you're asking. So I'm going to give you a kind of a two-part answer. So the first answer I have is this. Republicans have run to court before, usually with anecdotal data, saying, look at this, Your Honor. Okay, these people are rigging the election. And the cases get thrown out because there's usually no substantive data, no court admissible data. So starting in 2016, this is the second. So that's the first issue. You've got to have the data before you can make your legal argument work. And generally, no one's ever had the data. But starting in 2016, this was prompted by the Attorney General of Mississippi at the time. I started building systems to do to these companies what they do to us and our kids 24 hours a day. Starting in 2016, my team and I began building systems to monitor them, to track them, to record the content that they're sending to real voters. And by the way, you have to be looking over the shoulders of real voters to see what they're sending, because they send personalized content. So you've got to get the cooperation of some real voters with their permission. You've got to be able to look over their shoulders, capture the content they're seeing, and then aggregate that content really fast. At this point in time, our national monitoring system, which people can learn about at americasdigitalshield.com, that's Americas with an S, digitalshield.com, we are now monitoring 24 hours a day the real content that Google and other tech companies are sending to registered voters. We're doing this through the computers of a politically balanced group of more than 15,000 registered voters in all 50 states. 24 hours a day, we're aggregating the data very rapidly and analyzing it, and we're showing the bias. We're exposing the bias, and of course, we know what the bias does to the votes. And so that is happening right now. So I challenge from AG Hood by beginning to develop monitoring systems. It's cost us over the years, like over the 8 years, about $7 million to build these systems. The nationwide system that we built last year, the first in the world, that cost alone $3 million to build and another $1 million since then to maintain. The point is, we're getting the evidence. So the bottom line on your question about legality is, we are now in a position to provide various kinds of authorities, various kinds of public policy groups with the data that they need to challenge these companies. And I am in daily discussions with all kinds of authorities from various states, including Texas, about, okay, now what? Now that the data, we're accumulating a massive amount of data, so I think at this point more than 93 million pieces of data, which are potentially very incriminating for these companies. Now that we're collecting the data 24 hours a day, what do we do with it? So for example, right this minute, Google is sending out register to vote reminders to Democrats at 2.5 times the rate that they're sending those reminders to Republicans. Now think about that. Over time, that turns into partisan mail-in-your-ballot reminders. And then a little bit later, it turns into partisan go-vote reminders. Those three manipulations alone, this is called targeted messaging, those three manipulations alone shift millions of votes in a national election. And unless you're capturing the data, you have no idea what they're doing.
But wait a second. I'm assuming now, based off of hearing you say this, that that means Google has some sort of a database that it knows the political affiliations of its users. Is that true?
Wait a minute. Are you kidding me? If you've been using the internet for 20 years, Google has the equivalent of more than 3 million pages of information, not millions of pieces of data, but 3 million pages of information about you.
But they're categorizing it on a user level of where you align politically.
All the content that they send you is personalized based on everything they know about you. Your sexual preferences, the websites you visit in the middle of the night. Who you donate to, what you purchase, they know everything about you. They have, for most of us now, they have our genetic information. They bought Fitbit, so they have our physiological data for at least for tens of millions of Americans. They bought the Nest smart thermostat a few years ago, and then they, without telling anyone, they put microphones into some of the Nest devices, so they are listening in people's homes without their knowledge. They're listening in and watching through Android phones 24 hours a day. You can't even really turn off an Android phone. You think it's off, but it's not. Remember the batteries used to be removable? Now the batteries are soldered in. That's so that they can continue monitoring.
I mean, this is incredible information. We're up against the break. I want to come back from this break with Dr. Robert Epstein and talk about more of the AG meetings. But I mean, wow, folks. So, I mean, this is even beyond election interference. I mean, this is basically a hive mind that knows everything about you, that can manipulate your life, your very life.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWars.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale is going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out, or if you're an athlete, or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
And I'm sorry to give people the bad news, folks. It's all over. We need to get ready now. People need to go to KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. You need to get ready. This is the place to go. I love them. They're great sponsors. They're great people. Or you can call 720-605-3900. In my opinion, you are insane if you don't get into silver right now and get some gold. And I wish I could do it. I'm under enemy attack. It's okay. It's fine. And I'm just looking at all of you, wishing I was in the position you're in right now, because I wish this wasn't the case, but I intellectually and spiritually know I'm 100% right. And I think you all know it too. We are screwed. But the good news is humanity's waking up, and we're going to turn this around. So buckle up, folks. Buckle up and get ready now, because the greatest crisis of all of our lives is happening now, and I'm just the watchman on the wall, the Paul Revere, telling you the New World Order's coming. It's here.
Naturally sourced from the finest hemp plants in America, Rebel Zen offers the absolute finest quality CBD available, and at the lowest prices. Extracted using a cold-pressed technique to retain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids and terpenes within the plant, this full-spectrum formula ensures that your nervous system gets the full benefits of CBD. Premium quality organic CBD like Rebel Zen has been shown to naturally reduce anxiety, relieve pain, and decrease inflammation. People have reported a reduction in symptoms of insomnia, arthritis, seizures, chronic pain, and epilepsy. Several studies have shown it helps to reduce cortisol, increase serotonin, and boost vitality. Order yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. And now, the tip of the spear, leading the fight to take back the nation, it's Owen Schroyer. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And my guest, Dr. Robert Epstein. I mean, look, election interference is a big story, especially with, I guess it's 137 days or so till the presidential election, but I mean, that those last details you were getting into almost scare me even more. I mean, we're talking about like, I mean, folks, this is like James Bond villain corporation. This is like Spectre level that Google is involved in here. And, you know, we tend to kind of not think about it, how we use Google and search with Google and how they have all this information on us and then categorize it. Not to mention now, they can listen to everything you say and then have targeted ads based off of conversations that you have. But maybe that's another conversation for another day, because I do want to focus on the election issues here. And I want to go back to your meetings with the attorneys general. Now, I'm just curious how this conversation went. And I guess it ties into the topics we just got into.
What led the attorneys generals to warn you that your life may be at risk for sharing this information?
Well, that happened after I did a private briefing for a group of them that was at Stanford University. And I familiarized them with my latest research findings, and I showed them the numbers. I showed them the procedures that we use. And just as you a few minutes ago were kind of shocked into, you know, as if you've just entered a new world, that happened with a lot of them as well. So basically they some of these people saw me as a tremendous threat to these companies. And of course, if you're a tremendous threat to some of the most powerful companies in the world, in all of history, well, it's possible that you might want to, they may not want you to continue your work. Let's put it that way. I had a call from a journalist in Washington, D.C., who was writing a story about my research. And 2 days afterwards, he called me again, and he said, I really need to tell you what just happened. And he said he just got off the phone with a woman at Google who he believed was the head of public relations there. And he said she screamed at me. He said, I've never seen that before. That's very unprofessional for a public relations director to scream at a journalist. So he said, I want to tell you two things. He said, number one, you have their attention. And number two, if I were you, I would take precautions.
That's what the Google employee said to the journalist?
That's what the journalist concluded after this PR professional at Google was screaming at him about my research. Those are his conclusions. You have their attention. And if I were you, I would take precautions. That's what he said. And by the way, the death of my wife, which of course it just could have happened coincidentally, of course, that it happened a few months after I was warned that I would be killed in some sort of accident, could be a coincidence, of course. But since then, we have had at least three other incidents like this affecting people who work with me, and they're all very, very frightening. In one case, this is more recently, my managing director, who was fabulous, was walking with her husband, her very handsome husband, in downtown San Diego, Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. And out of the crowd, a man just comes up to them, pulls a knife, and slits her husband's face all the way from one ear all the way down to his mouth. Then he looked at her. He looked at my managing director and laughed and then ran away. Now, her husband will never be the same. She quit a few months later. I don't blame her, because you know what went through her mind is maybe doing this job puts us all in danger. So I have people who come here and work with me, often without any pay, often at their own expense, and they come from all over the United States, sometimes from other countries as well. But often they say, please don't list my name anywhere. they just don't want their contributions to be made public, because what we're doing is a tremendous threat to these companies, especially now that we're capturing so much of what Google calls ephemeral data, that we're capturing all this ephemeral data 24 hours a day. That's never been done before, and it is a tremendous threat to these companies. And the AGs and other authorities that I work with, believe me, they're trying to figure out how to use existing laws and use the evidence that we've been collecting to get these companies. But it's tricky, because no one ever anticipated, when laws were being written, no one ever anticipated that these huge monopolies would arise and that they would dominate people's thinking and behavior. No one ever even imagined that. So we don't have the laws and regulations in place that we should have. The question is, what can we do with existing law? That's the question so far. But meanwhile, collecting this data, this is critical because we're building an archive, and it means we'll be able to go back in time and see what they were doing. And that's never been possible before. That by definition, ephemeral experiences are ephemeral. They're fleeting. They disappear. That is the secret to how Google manipulates. In 2018, there was a leak of emails from Google to the Wall Street Journal in which Google employees were saying, how can we use ephemeral experiences to change people's views about Trump's travel ban? In other words, they're aware of this in the company. They know that they can use these fleeting experiences that we all have and that leave no paper trail, they can use those to manipulate.
It's all 21st century digital propaganda. And, you know, one coincidence, okay. Two coincidences, you start to get real suspicious. Three, four, five, I can't even imagine what it's like being in your shoes. I mean, from hearing your story, I'm like, my goodness. I mean, it sounds like you're dealing with, you know, the bad guys from, like, Spectre or from Venom. I mean, that's what this sounds like to me. And I appreciate your candor in talking about this subject. But do you believe maybe it was a hit on you that ended up resulting in a car crash with your wife?
No, I don't know. And I'll never know because her vehicle ended up disappearing from the impound lot. It was never examined forensically. And I was told that it was sold for parts to someone in Mexico. It just disappeared. I mean, that was my property and it just disappeared. So I will never know. I will never know about any of these incidents what the truth is. Just a few weeks ago when we were under our America's Digital Shield.com, which I hope people will look at, we were under attack. The data had stopped flowing. This is normal. This is just normal stuff that you have to deal with online. But I called up some of my tech people. This was at 11 o'clock at night. I couldn't find anyone, you know, that late at night to look into this. I finally reached my son who said, I'll go over to the office, Dad, and I'll check it out. Now this is a secret office. I don't even know where this office is because we have all kinds of security measures in place to protect what we're doing. Point is I call him at 11 at midnight. He calls me back and says, sorry, Dad, I didn't make it to the office. I said, what happened? He said, I got broadsided by a black vehicle. My car is totaled. He said, don't worry. I'm okay. Cause they hit the passenger side. He said, and the black vehicle just backed up and drove off at high speed.
A hit and run.
Just at the moment that we're being hacked and he's on his way to the office to try to figure out what's going on. So, I mean, I could go on and on. I don't even like to think about these things, obviously,
yeah.
Because, I'm not stopping. I am not stopping. As long as I am breathing, these systems that I've been building are going to get bigger and bigger. And we're hoping this year that we can get major funding. We're working on this right now. To make this system permanent and self-sustaining, to protect our elections permanently and to protect our children from indoctrination permanently. The way the world is now, again, people don't know it. They don't understand, but these tech companies have taken over in many, many respects, and they've certainly undermined our democracy. There is no free and fair election anymore. And people don't get it. But the solution, even without laws and regulations, is to track them just as they track us. And when you track them, now you're creating a paper trail where normally there is none, and authorities will figure out how to use the massive amounts of data we're collecting to go after these companies. And so will public policy groups like election integrity groups, for example, and parenting groups. They will force these companies to back off. Do we know that can happen? Can we get them to back off? Oh yeah, because we've gotten them to back off twice so far, just by monitoring them and then making it known what we found. So after the 2020 election, Senator Ted Cruz and two other senators sent a very threatening letter to the CEO of Google summarizing some of our data that we had collected in the 2020 election, which, by the way, showed massive election fraud. So Cruz sent this letter, and that same day, this was November 5th, 2020, that same day, Google shut off most of its manipulations in Georgia, which was gearing up for two Senate runoff elections. How do we know they shut off their manipulations? Because we had more than 1,000 monitors, registered voters throughout Georgia, and we were watching. We could see what they're doing every moment, and they literally shut off their manipulation. So they had been sending out targeted go vote messages, for example, on their homepage in Georgia. Starting that day, there were no more go vote reminders sent to anybody in Georgia on Google. And the bias in their search results went to zero, which we had never seen before. Normally, there's extreme liberal bias in Google search results, which again can shift millions of votes. If people go to AmericasDigitalShield.com, that's Americas with an S, you can see real data coming in real time, updated every 5 minutes. Go down to the Google graph and you'll see the extreme political bias there. And you'll also see something else, which is that since we went public with this national monitoring system, which, by the way, I introduced to Congress in testimony in December of 2023, when we went public with this national monitoring system in November, well, that's so say roughly 6 months ago, the liberal bias in Google search results started to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And you'll see this steady, small decrease in liberal bias in Google search results. And you'll see it on the graph on that page, AmericasDigitalShield.com. That's another indication that we have their attention, as that journalist put it. We have their attention. Now, are they going to reduce that bias to zero? I doubt it, because they are not going to let Trump win. But let me tell you something else here. Okay, we have right now court admissible data in 16 states, and we get new field agents or monitors every single day. So we're growing as fast as we can. If we had major resources, we would start growing at an extremely high rate until we had court admissible data in all 50 states. That's what we need to have in place at least a few weeks before the election. And if we do that, we're going to see those numbers go to zero. Google will back off, because they cannot gamble on having that much court admissible data to take them down. They can't take that kind of risk.
Well, it's an incredible thing you've built there at AmericasDigitalShield.com. Also, more information available at MyGoogleResearch.com. Dr. Robert Epstein, we thank you so much for your efforts and your time today. And I think it's worthy of catching up with you again in a couple months, just to figure out what you capture in the next couple months and as we get closer to this election. Dr. Epstein, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Owen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as you heard, there was stuff in that interview that even shocked me. And it's not even that you don't know it's going on, but it's just to be reminded of it and then to think about how it's applied and how this infrastructure is built. Yeah, we shouldn't be numb to that. Yeah, that should shock us. Yeah, that should be a bigger story. And so I'm definitely going to take some clips of that, put them on my Twitter. We're going to put the or X account. We're going to put the full interview up on band.video. That's definitely one you want to share, definitely one you want to take some clips of and share with your friends and family. Because everybody knows the power of Google. But when you think about it in an applied practice and how it pertains to your personal life and then the results we get in an election, it's really hits home, I would say. It really hits home. All right, we got a lot more coming up as far as the news is concerned. But first, let's go back to Alex Jones with Russell Brand.
And like, well, Alex, what I suppose is, what I feel like is over time, incrementally, we are able to observe the position at the commencement of the pandemic, and we were able to observe where we are now. The sort of slow release of information. Oh, okay, it was a lab leak. Okay, there was research that the Eco Health Alliance were participating in. Yes, the NIH were involved in that funding. There were distinct batches. There was investment from this group and that group. This medication was patented. Slowly, you start to realize, and this is a device I use on my show, is I say that we're closer to the Alex Jones prognosis than the BBC prognosis, even by what's being acknowledged in legacy media outlets when it comes to the distinction from what they were saying at the beginning to what they're saying now. So plainly, this was an extraordinary event. I'd love to ask you, do you think it was a unique event in so much as that they were taking unique actions, or was it unique because we were able over a short time frame to see how these institutions work together? Was it a unique event in terms of its scale or just our ability to observe?
I mean, I think it's both. If you read the Rockefeller Foundation, Lockstep, 2011, and you read all the rest of the stuff, they said, we're going to use the virus to take control. And so this was their play. It was all on purpose. It wasn't a mistake. I see Congress like, Fauci, admit you made a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. I did not make a mistake. No, it was not a mistake. It was a premeditated power grab for depopulation to corrupt the medical system and get full control. So if tyrants are going to make a move, it's going to be the medical system. So they did it. So now it's blown up in their face. And now they're trying to bring back bird flu. So the next question is, how do we counter their next operation? We're all vindicated. And it's not about, oh, I'm vindicated. Aren't I great? No, it's about stopping the next event. So you've been through hell exposing the truth. So has Joe Rogan. So has Tucker Carlson. All of us, all the listeners and viewers. And so the bigger debate is, wow, the globalists aren't invincible. They're not. They're tyrants that believe they were. The bigger question is, what are they going to pull next? And then what is the right course of action to take control of the system and then stop them from the next attack? That's where I'm at.
I suppose the next attack is likely to be an escalation of hostility between Western powers and Russia, potentially all-out war. Or there will be some regulation imposed because of climate change, or there will be some kind of new pandemic. I suppose what we can assume is that crisis in conjunction with the ability to impose regulation appears to be the template. What's weird about this, Alex, I think, is 20 years ago, 30 years ago, before this space became so mercurial and volatile, this would have been an analytic you would have got from Noam Chomsky or Naomi Klein in shock doctrine, the way that the CIA and various deep state forces would create coups and opportunity for power grabs in South and Latin American countries. We're now just seeing deployed domestically in the same way that some of the methods and technology that's been used in Middle Eastern nations to cause disruption and to subvert their power systems is being domestically deployed here. The very same technology, the very same agencies. So I suppose the reason that the control of information is so vital is if you have a well-informed population that are by default in opposition to regulatory measures, are by default against authoritarianism, then it is much harder to whatever the next wave is going to be. It's going to be much harder to implement it when you have a population that's default position is not compliance, but is disobedience and opposition.
Updates. Be sure and follow me at Real Alex Jones here on X.
All right, back live in the InfoWars World Headquarters here in Austin, Texas. We got a lot more news coming up. We got more from Alex as well as we near the third hour of today's Alex Jones show. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my favorite products at InfoWarsStore.com, one of the audience's favorite products from InfoWarsStore.com, has a new home, and that's Turbo Force Plus. Normally, you would get your Turbo Force Plus from InfoWarsStore.com. It has a new home now. It's at DrJonesNaturals.com. So if you are an avid user, and like I am, an avid user of Turbo Force Plus, now you go to DrJonesNaturals.com, and that's where you can get your 10 hours of clean energy in one scoop of TurboForce Plus, drjonesnaturals.com. And with this new home, it is now 40% off, 40% off TurboForce Plus at its new home, drjonesnaturals.com. So want to let you in the audience know about that. If you're looking for TurboForce Plus, as many of our audience members are, the great Americans out there driving trucks, delivering mail, working throughout their day, listening to InfoWars, TurboForce Plus is now 40% off at drjonesnaturals.com. And so that's where you can find that. All right. I'll tell you what. Let's do this before we hear from Alex and get into some of the other news in the third hour. Supreme Court releases five opinions on Friday. Most anticipated cases not among the list. SCOTUS will release final group of opinions on Wednesday. So it looks like the anticipation is that the Trump immunity case will be coming down next week. So if you look at this on a timeline, Wednesday, it's anticipated we'll get the Trump immunity case result at the Supreme Court. And then Thursday is the presidential debates. And obviously that's going to have a major impact on how the debates are handled, certainly from the Democrat moderators, and then plus Joe Biden and Trump as well. So that's going to be big. Next week is certainly going to be a crazy week, but is there ever not a crazy week? Is there ever not a crazy week? I guess is the better question. Biden student loan debt cancellation, a main cause of $400 billion increase in 24 deficit. Wait a second. Biden said he decreased the deficit. Oh, he lied. That's right. He lied. And the student debt cancellation is one of the reasons the deficit has gone up. Now there's another story dealing with this from a Democrat because of him sharing his personal information because he got a student loan relief from Biden, may have accidentally exposed his own voter fraud. So that's another story we'll have coming up. But, you know, it's funny. The Democrats are all attacking Alito and Clarence Thomas right now. They're at it again, and they're saying Thomas needs to be removed from the bench, and they're claiming that he's not being honest in his financial disclosures because somebody takes him out on a boat or takes him out to dinner, and they're saying, oh, he needs to claim these things. But they're always silent on Sotomayor, who used her power as a Supreme Court judge to force people to buy her books and got million-dollar book advance deals. But those disclosures, that corruption, nobody talks about that. If there's anybody that has problems with ethics on the Supreme Court, it's Sotomayor. But Democrats don't want you to talk about that.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
We take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that?
I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Elaborating on this issue, because you've really done a lot of research into this. And I want to get back into the suicide death cult nature of the globalists. Yes. and why they're so nihilistic, why they're doing this, and how they see a nuclear war as some survivable thing for them, then it'll get rid of the population, and they'll reemerge. And the Wall Street Journal, even with headlines, looking forward to the end of humanity, and just hundreds of headlines about humans are a parasite, let's get rid of them, and then right. The horrible, sick things they do. Like, this is really, at the end of the day, a spiritual battle, and you've talked some about that in your guest tab, but that's I want right. you to really go deep on this today.
Well, I mean, I think the framework that most of us internalized growing up in this country was evolutionary biology, the idea that human behavior is the product of millions of years of adaptation to the environment, and we like things, we don't like things, because our ancestors had a need to like or dislike those things. And it makes sense, and I think to some extent it's true. But the bottom line imperative in evolutionary biology is survival. You know, the whole point of existence is to pass on your genes to another generation and you know, continue the line of humanity. So, and I think that's right, actually. I think that is our instinct. So whenever you see people who are pushing for the end of humanity, pushing for suicide, you know that the controlling power is, by definition, not human. I'm trying to approach this logically here. Like, what are we watching? And I don't think that we're watching the product of human greed, here, for example. And a lot of people, and I've been one of them many, many times, say, well, you know, the real story here, you know, the real reason this is happening is because Larry Fink is going to buy all the farmland in Ukraine and he's going to make a ton of money for BlackRock. Or the reason, you know, we have so many transvestite children is because the, you know, hormone makers are making a bundle on this. Or the reason they're pushing the COVID vax is because Moderna and Pfizer are getting rich. I mean, on one level, that is all true, of course. But it's not what's driving it. No one is going to survive a nuclear exchange. The people who are pushing us, no one on the National Security Council is going to have a better life if there's a nuclear war. Everything that they know and love will be gone, including their own children. So this is not actually something they're doing for their own benefit, whether they know it or not. They're being driven to do it by spiritual forces. I mean, if there's another explanation, by the way, I'm completely comfortable having grown up a secular person in a secular country with a secular explanation for what we're watching. And if you can think of one, tell me what it is. But I can't. I don't see any rational reason. I don't see any actual self-interest that could be motivating the desire to commit mass suicide. I just don't. And I would, by the way, say that the transgender, the tranny stuff is a form of mass suicide. You're preventing your children from having children. Therefore, you go extinct. I mean, right? At scale, that's what we're watching.
Having our sons cut their genitals off and little girls cut their breasts off. It's like something out of a Clive Barker novel. It's like Hellraiser. So let's bring in all the politics. No,
but can I just say, it's not just hurting your children, it's hurting you, because the deepest desire of every parent is to have grandchildren, not just for sentimental reasons, but for biological reasons, to see your line continue. That is the most natural of all instincts. So when you see somebody act against that, then you know this is probably not a human impulse.
And for breaking news and updates, be sure and follow me at Real Alex Jones here on X.
we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
This is the heart of 1776.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Huge nationwide protests erupted once again on President Donald Trump's second weekend in office.
When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
And most importantly, we will be protected by God.
From the front lines of the InfoWar, it's Alex Jones.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale is going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word because without you, we are nothing.
You found it. The tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Troyer.
All right, let's take a look here at the political persecution that is just rampant and blatant. The Biden administration already has hundreds of political prisoners. I've been a political prisoner of the Biden administration myself. In fact, I would argue that I've been arrested for my speech four times. In fact, that's not even, I mean, it's on record. I've been arrested for my speech four times. So I know all about this. Now, they tried to delay Steve Bannon's case and failed. Steve Bannon's bid to delay 4-month contempt prison sentence rejected by appeals court. So, Steve Bannon is going to be reporting to prison on July 1st for a 4-month sentence for contempt of Congress. You know, the same thing Merrick Garland, Eric Holder, Hunter Biden have done and had no jail time. Yeah. So, that's just called Democrat Party persecution. And don't worry, there is plenty more where that came from before the 2024 election. I can assure you. I can assure you, but some Republicans are pushing back against the Democrat Party corruption, like Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey to sue New York over unconstitutional lawfare against Trump. It's time to restore the rule of law. And of course, arguing that the election interference in the case against Trump is hurting Missourians' right to a free and fair election. And he's specifically citing the fact that the charges they've at least tried to springboard this case off of, and then there's the other mystery charges that they don't even have to tell you what they are. They just make them up. Literally, they don't even tell you what they are. Trump doesn't even know what he's defending himself against. That's how insane this case was. But the statute of limitations expired in 2019 dealing with the bookkeeping error charge. So he's arguing and suing now that it's unconstitutional lawfare and it's election interference. And, of course, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is right. Now, what's interesting is that Bailey is in a primary for the election against a former Trump lawyer who's running for attorney general as well. And, you know what, guys, they cut off my story here. And so I forgot the gentleman's name. I think it's Josh Scharf or Scarf. I want to make sure I get that right, as the printer cut off the guy's name. But I believe it's Josh Scarf or Scharf, former Trump attorney. And so now he's under attack. Missouri Attorney General candidate, listen to this. Folks, they got him. He's done now. Faced underage drinking charges as a college student. Oh, my gosh. He drank while he was in college. I mean, how will he possibly recover from this? I mean, no college student drinks a beer. No college student drinks liquor before they're 21. I mean, this is unheard of. Can you guys believe this? I'm stunned. I'm shocked. I don't even know how to handle this news. A individual who's defended Donald Trump and is running for the attorney general position in the state of Missouri drank while underage in college. My gosh, the liberals have done it now. The Democrats have caught him now. He's toast. How will he ever recover? And then they say, well, it's worth mentioning that Missouri's Will Scarf. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Will Scarf. It's worth really has also had allegations that he drank underage in college. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Nobody ever drinks underage in college. Nobody. No one ever. Only these two candidates for Missouri's attorney general. Nobody else has ever done it. I can't believe it. Disqualified. Huh. Then there's the Hunter Biden laptop, but I guess, you know, that's a whole nother story. But actually, it's not. Well, actually, it is. DOJ concealing info on probe into whether Hunter Biden violated debauchery law. Now, this is the Mann Act, and this has been talked about before. When Marjorie Taylor Greene comes out and alleges that Hunter Biden was involved in human trafficking and sex trafficking, she's not just making this up out of nowhere. And she's really not even deriving this from the content that's on the Hunter Biden laptop. That's just evidence. Hunter was already being looked at in the past for a violation of the Mann Act. And this is involving sex trafficking specifically and victims of sex trafficking. And the DOJ is concealing this information. And at the time when these charges were maybe being looked at with Hunter Biden, again, the government gave Hunter protection and backed off. Just like the IRS whistleblower said. So Hunter Biden has been above the law and protected by the deep state on multiple issues. Now, does this thing rear its ugly head again? A government watchdog group filed suit in Delaware federal court this week, seeking to compel the Justice Department to produce records that may determine whether Hunter Biden should be further investigated under a new 1910 law regarding prostitution or debauchery. Now, we know Hunter Biden was involved in both because of his laptop. The point is, there was already evidence, a significant amount that Hunter Biden was already being investigated on Mann Act grounds. And it got squashed by the deep state because his last name is Biden. So, but again, you know he was engaged in prostitution and debauchery. We have recordings of it. We have images of it. So, hey, but his name is Biden. So, can you imagine if this was Don Jr. engaged in this activity? Oh, my gosh. The whole world would stop and it'd be the number one story. But because the last name is Biden, we don't talk about the prostitution and everything else that Hunter was engaged in. I mean, dozens of instances that we have full evidence of with Hunter and prostitution. Phone calls and everything. We know the dates. We know the times. We know the locations. We know that he, what did he say? He doesn't want any yellas.
I guess he doesn't like Asians, or maybe he said he did want the yellows. I don't know. Ask Hunter. Ask Hunter. Or maybe we'll ask Hunter's once romantic partner with his daughter that he never sees and wants to see ever. Maybe we'll do that. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, yes, that Alvin Bragg, drops charges against most of the Columbia University protesters. Now here's some of the details. Pretty much all of the students got their charges dropped. And I'll explain why. The only charges that remained were from people that weren't students or people that traveled out of state. And it was about a dozen of them. Now, what's crazy is the deal was offered to them that they'd basically have 6 months of a probation with a very light standard, being you can't be arrested again. Now, that's a pretty common standard for most probations, is you can't be arrested again. You can't break the law again. So that was basically what they would have faced, but instead now they didn't even take the deal. So that's being put off. Now, okay, so all of these students that had charges that have all been dropped, the argument is, well, they didn't vandalize anything. Oh, that's the standard. That's the standard here. Now, I will tell you, I might not even necessarily disagree with the standard. If you were involved in some of these protests, I mean, you can do a case-by-case basis, but generally speaking, I would say, you know what, you have a First Amendment right, and if you want to protest a war on a college campus, and you do it legally and lawfully, then I would say, okay, that's fair. And if you don't vandalize anything, oh, and by the way, the other people that are still being charged, they attacked police officers. And still, they were not going to face jail time. But now they're going to probably maybe face jail time because they did attack police officers. But I guess they figure they can get a favorable decision in a courtroom. I don't even mind this standard. If you were part of a larger protest and you didn't break anything, commit any violent crimes, attack a police officer, vandalize anything, then yeah, okay, maybe your charges should be dropped. But here's the problem, because with a justice system, keyword being justice, then the law and the theories of law and how it's applied are supposed to be universal. Now, I think we all know exactly what I'm thinking here. I think we all know exactly where I'm going with this. And I mean, it's not even to make it all about me. It is a case example. But you could use it about many January 6th defendants. But let's just use my case as an example. Obviously, I never touched a police officer, never engaged in any violence, never vandalized anything. Nothing. My speech landed me in prison for 2 months, and my speech has had me on a federal probation for 5 years. 5 years for my speech. No vandalizing, no violence, nothing. Do I get that same treatment that the protesters at Columbia University get? Nope. No. Do I get my charges dropped? Nope. Do I get the government off my back? Nope. But why is that? Why the double standard? We all know why. Because I'm not a liberal. Because I'm not a Democrat. That's why. Because I'm a Trump-supporting American patriot, I get politically persecuted. Justice is dead. Why? Because Democrats killed it. And unfortunately, I know firsthand. But it gets even worse. New documents from DHS Deep State Group reveal the Biden administration views Trump supporters as domestic terrorism threats. America First Legal has shared these documents. They've published these documents. And I've talked about this before. Why does Maxine Waters, this deranged lunatic, this piece of 20-year-old beef jerky warmed up in a microwave, why does she go on TV saying, we know Trump supporters are in the woods training with guns. We know Trump supporters are getting ready to train and take over the Capitol, because they are in entrapment schemes right now, and they have already had documents ready to go
that will label any Trump supporter as a domestic terrorist. You, all you have to do is vote Trump, wear a Trump hat, wear a Trump shirt. The Democrats want to label you a domestic terrorist. I hope people see where this is going. I hope people see what is going on here. The Democrats want to completely destroy any and all political opposition. Because at the very core, the very nucleus of left-wing politics is totalitarianism. They cannot exist and they cannot have any success with policy unless they have total control. It has to be a one-party system. So that's what we're in the process of right now. The Democrats removing any political opposition, whether it be Trump or just a Trump supporter, removing any political opposition and having a one-party rule. This always happens with left-wing politics throughout the history of modern American politics, global politics, political science. Of course, how are the Democrats going to tell you how to live, what to eat, what to drink, what car to drive, what dishwasher to use, what washing machine to use, what air conditioning unit to use? How can they do any of this? They have to have full control over your life, and they have to remove any political opposition to gain that control. So that's what we're witnessing right now. Now, with that, a couple men who have been talking about this for a while are Russell Brand and Alex Jones. And so here's more from that interview.
I said on a show yesterday, I think I was talking to Chris Pavlovsky at Rumble, like, you know, that you, if we've got Alex Jones prior to 9/11 saying there's this guy, Osama bin Laden, the CIA are going to blow up the World Trade Center. They're going to blame it on Osama bin Laden and Al Qaeda. Then they're going to use it as an excuse to go to war. I feel that once someone's got the footage of that, you have to consider what that person says pretty carefully going forward. And I've said to you in one of our previous conversations that you, in a culture that revered evangelism or if not shamanism, which I understand can be seen as trying to use God for your own purposes, but prophecy or channeling or all of the various terms that could be applied to metaphysical discourse. I feel that because we live a materialistic and solely rationalistic life, we've excluded the possibility that people have extraordinary capacities and abilities. Now, when I look at this just on a material plane, Alex, I'm terrified. I'm terrified to see what happens to everyone who speaks out, to everyone who is dissenting. I'm terrified by the various means by which they are leveraging care and safety in order to create more authority. I'm astonished to find that there are large communities of people that consider it necessary to surrender their freedom and are willingly going to be shorn and sheared and castrated. But I am heartened by the amount of resistance. I'm astonished now because of a personal experience, the number of people that absolutely reject what they can plainly see are various media organizations and various online and government entities cooperating in order to generate stories. What I'm excited by now is the ability to form real-time resistance and real-time opposition. For me, I suppose one area of concern is I don't see enough practical political suggestion for us to get behind that to me would represent a pivotal moment of change. You know, the other day I said people would be better off voting for Trump than Biden. And in some media quarters, that, you know, really popped off and people were outraged that anyone could say such a thing. What I would say in my country, where we're about to, it seems, elect another globalist, is other than Nigel Farage, who is very much aligned with a kind of Britain First type movement, there is no populism. And where there is populism, there's very seldom a spiritual dimension. We're mostly talking about sort of patriotism and borders and immigration, which I recognize are very important issues to a lot of people. But what I suppose I am personally excited by, and what I consider to be most important, is how do we re-sacralize these spaces? How do we bring God back into the conversation? How do we assert the right to live holy lives? How do we recover ideas like salvation and redemption and atonement and community and unity and service and kindness, all values that appear to have been diluted out and marginalized by a rationalist discourse that leaves us with nothing but individual goals, the kind of individual goals that we were discussing at the beginning of this conversation, that lead people where they may have some talent to use it to simply pursue personal objectives that will ultimately be unfulfilling. There aren't many templates other than Christianity and the Holy Word, and I'm sure there are other people that have contradictory or competing theological or spiritual views, but there aren't many value systems being widely enough promoted in the political sphere to give me serious hope that there is a alternative to either divisive politics that are run along cultural lines or centrist, globalist, corporatist politics. I would love to see more spiritual values injected into the political conversation, and for that to be done in a way that's appealing and inclusive.
At Real Alex Jones on X.
All right, let's look at some other political news here. Now, the debate is Thursday. Joe Biden is prepping. They've sent him off for a week. He needs a week to prep. So I don't know if that means we won't be seeing or hearing him for a week. That's the best thing for his campaign, is if he would just go away. It's funny. He puts up this picture of him probably from over a year ago getting off Air Force One because he's still using the big boy steps. He uses the little boy steps, the handicap steps now. What's with the whole aviator look that Biden does? It's a propaganda deal to make him look cool and young and like he still has some sort of an energy to him. The aviator look is all political propaganda. Just understand. The aviator look is coping with the fact he has no aura, he has no energy, and he's a disgusting, hideous monster. And he's not cool. So that's why they do that. But he's gotta be sent off to Camp David for a week. For a week. To prep. Now, Trump was asked, what is Trump doing to prep? Nothing. Literally, he's like, oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going about my normal life. So that's kind of funny. But yeah, what does Trump need to do? He knows his policies. Joe Biden is, he can barely even walk or talk. So. Plus, the whole thing's rigged against him anyway, so what is he supposed to do? So, for the next week, they're in the process of rigging the debate against Trump, giving Biden as many medical procedures as possible, as humanly possible. Maybe he's in an iron lung, a hyperbaric chamber, all kinds of wires and needles attached to him. And then Trump is just doing rallies and living his life and still going to win the debate. President Trump to rally in Philadelphia tomorrow. And remember, Biden had a rally in Philadelphia, barely filled a high school gymnasium, not even half of it, really. And so Trump will probably have a massive one. That's going to be big. That's going to be big. Follow for more information at Infowars.com. Biden looks like a zombie as he arrives at Camp David, where he will be holed away and doped up for next week's debate. Oh, yeah, we do have that video, guys, of Biden. He can't even walk. Go ahead and give me clip four here. So here he is, struggling on the steps, and then here comes the Biden shuffle. Can barely move his joints. He can't bend his elbows. He can barely bend his knees. It's the Biden shuffle. I mean, this is just embarrassing. He's like limping too. He might have a load in his diaper, making it harder to walk. So there's your Biden shuffle. Can't even walk straight. Looks like he's drunk. What an embarrassment. What an absolute embarrassment. So that's what you got there. Support for Biden among women, lowest of any Democrat since 2004. How about that? The propaganda isn't working.
the abortion crap isn't working. Now, billionaires are supporting Trump. He just went on a big billionaire podcast, and he angered some people with some of the stuff he says. It doesn't bother me at all. I disagree with some of Trump's policies and some of what he says. I just want him to win because I want my country to be better, and so it's really that simple. But he's catering to the billionaire class, and he's winning a lot of them over and getting a lot of donations as well.
Everybody knows, unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere for 20 years, that fish oil does incredible things. But not all fish oil is created equal. Most fish oil has been pasteurized. It's been boiled. It's been heated up, and they smash the bones and guts of the fish, and it gets contaminants in it. We sell the highest grade fish oil there is, and it's pure fish oil, and it's not been pasteurized, and it is so good for your whole body, your cardiovascular system, your brain, energy, everything. Next level quality, ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com right now. And for a limited time, it is 40% off. Ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. I just want to encourage you at the same time. This is really good for you. So it's a 360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get ultimate fish oil.
And I'm sorry to give people the bad news, folks. It's all over. We need to get ready now. People need to go to KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. You need to get ready. This is the place to go. I love them. They're great sponsors. They're great people. Or you can call 720-605-3900. In my opinion, you are insane if you don't get into silver right now and get some gold. And I wish I could do it. I'm under enemy attack. It's okay. It's fine. And I'm just looking at all of you, wishing I was in the position you're in right now, because I wish this wasn't the case, but I intellectually and spiritually know I'm 100% right. And I think you all know it too. We are screwed. But the good news is humanity's waking up, and we're going to turn this around. So buckle up, folks. Buckle up and get ready now, because the greatest crisis of all of our lives is happening now, and I'm just the watchman on the wall, the Paul Revere, telling you the new world order's coming. It's here.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure gravity fed water filtration system for 10% off. That's huge, because there's not much markup in these, because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
Sleepless nights seem to be a lot more common these days with everything that's going on both at home and the world at large. If you are having trouble getting to that deep sleep we could all use more of, our new sleep support formula, Down and Out, is just the thing. It's our new faster absorbing liquid formula that is specifically designed to help you get the shut-eye you deserve. Formulated to improve upon our best-selling product, Knockout, with Down and Out, now the herbs and melatonin packed inside are extracted directly into the glycerin solution. So the ingredients are already dissolved into the formula before you even take it. One of the other sleep support herbs included is the passion flower, which was traditionally used by Native Americans like the Cherokees, who used it for its relaxing qualities. Be sure to take this product when you are completely ready for sleep, because you will be down and out. Selling out now at InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the information war, it's Owen Schroyer. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
So this is what I've been talking about. I want to play some of his video. The video is a lot longer, but this is the juice and the conclusion here. Michigan State Senator Jim Runstad is furious today after Democrats pass a new bill that changes a 70-year-old law and prevents the Board of Canvassers from investigating election fraud. Look, it's obvious the Democrats are cheaters, and they're planning to cheat again. Oh, no kidding. And so that's why none of them, I think one Democrat voted for the SAFE Act to make sure you have a voter ID when you vote. One Democrat voted for that. The rest of them don't want there to be a voter ID. And now they don't want you to be able to do recounts or audits either. And so here's Michigan State Senator Jim Runstad explaining.
The current law regarding the Board of Canvassers is very clear. I'm not going to take the time to read every section out of the law currently, but it's very, very clear that in case of a recount, if somebody suspects fraud, they are able to bring that to the Board of Canvassers. The Board of Canvassers are permitted to investigate fraud. Contrary to everything I've been hearing on the other side of the aisle, in posts, the media not covering it, it is clear as a bell that if there's allegations of fraud in a recount, that the Board of Canvassers have currently the ability to investigate fraud. They also have currently the ability to subpoena. They have subpoena power. It's very clear in the law currently, despite what the other side says, and despite the fact that the media will not print any of this for the public to be aware of. This bill, 603, removes that ability from the Board of Canvassers. It is a big change. What they put in instead is, well, if you suspect fraud, turn it over to the hyper-partisan attorney general, oh, I'm sure, if it's a Republican making that claim, it's going to get a thorough investigation. Or turn it over to the hyper-partisan Democrat prosecutors within the big cities where the majority of the votes are. Oh, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of investigation of fraud from those individuals. It is being done after 70 years of having this system. All of a sudden, we have to strip the power from these Board of Canvassers. They say, well, there's never been an example where it was used. Completely untrue. In the 2020 election, in 2016, I believe in Detroit, it was 72% of the precincts couldn't be recounted, mostly for an overcount, for a whole series of issues, broken open ballot boxes. So we gave them more time and money. And what happened in 2020? It went from, I believe, the 72% to 79%. How can this happen? So these very astute Board of Canvassers for Wayne County said, we want to find out what happened. What happened then? They had a tsunami of death threats. Of all the death threats that I've heard bantied around, the absolute worst I have ever heard was against that Wayne County Board of Canvassers. A female who was doxed, her daughter was doxed. They sent horrific things to the mother. One of them was a tortured, bloody, murdered little girl the same age as her daughter, and said, if you don't vote for this, it's going to happen to your daughter. Now, of all the threats I've heard, nothing have I heard is more despicable, disgusting than that. If that had been me as a parent, I don't know what I would have done. So what did the law enforcement do? They waited 4.5 years to look at this case and investigate this case. And the most severe threat I've ever heard, verbal written threat, she was given 5 days of suspended sentence. This is what's happening in terms of real, true threats going on here. And the people who had the ability to the investigation stripped out, gone with this bill. After 70 years of this bill, the Democrats have stripped out the ability of the Board of Canvassers to investigate fraud in a recount and to get subpoena power. And now you refer it off to these hyper-partisan individuals who will never prosecute this. This is an outrage that we have had this bill passed. I don't know what to do in terms of expressing to the people here in the state of Michigan why the Democrats are doing this now. 70 years of a bill that has worked well, and the Democrats stripped the provisions out to stop fraud. I think the people here in the state of Michigan know why the Democrats have done this today. Thank you. I'd like my comments printed in the journal.
Well, we all know why, because the Democrats plan to steal the election. That's simple as that. Why don't they want voter ID? Why do they love early voting, mail-in ballots? It's truly incredible and obvious, actually. Why do they want non-citizens voting? Well, they can't win in a free and fair election. Come on. Democrat communications director accused of potential voter fraud after posting student loan forgiveness letter containing his address. Now, I'm going to get into this. This whole story is wild because he ended up making his account private and maybe even deleting the tweet bragging about this student loan forgiveness. He had very little debt in comparison to the average student loan debt. He had it to $48 a month. $48 a month, and he's claiming he needs relief. He lives in a more than $500,000 home and makes six figures. Why did you pay for this Democrat punk ass to not have to have his student loan payments? This is nuts, though. Ben Commins, communications director for Congresswoman Mary Kaptur, Democrat in Ohio, is facing allegations of voter fraud. The controversy arose when Commins took to social media to celebrate his student loans being paid off by the Biden-Harris regime. Jim Hoff of the Gateway Pundit writes, the letter he shared read, congratulations, the Biden-Harris administration has forgiven your student loans listed below with Nelnet in full. It mentioned two loans from 2010 totaling $8,250 as being forgiven. They're even sending out little letters saying, Biden gave you free money. Biden-Harris, vote us. Look, we gave you free money. And this stuff is sick. However, Commins' celebrations quickly turned sour when internet sleuths noticed that the address on the letter was not in Washington, D.C., where he reportedly lives and works, but in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Dumbass. The Gateway Pundit reported earlier, it didn't take long for the internet to discover that Commins listed his address at a $557,000 home in Pennsylvania and likely makes around $113,000 per year in his position, according to Indeed.com. We took screenshots and redacted them for Democrats' communications director. From the co-founder of the American Tribune, Jason Robertson, prominent conservative activist and election integrity advocate Scott Presler questioned why Commins was receiving mail at an address where he does not live. Why are you receiving mail to a home where you don't live? It appears to be potential voter fraud. Where are you registered to vote? Presler questioned. How about that? Investigative reporter Sarah Fields added fuel to the fire by stating that despite Commins living in D.C., he is registered as an active voter in Pennsylvania. Oh, well, strategically, the Democrats need those Pennsylvania votes, so I'm sure he was thinking about that. No, no, not a Democrat. They're always acting with full integrity. She also pointed out his record includes a traffic violation and disorderly conduct charge. Presler followed up with a call for transparency. Interesting, adding, a quick FOIA request should do the trick. Adding to the scrutiny, ex-user Galt Gulch Woodsman detailed discrepancies that suggest a pattern of fraudulent voting behavior. Dude is cooked. Based on these tweets, he admittedly committed voter fraud in 2022. He claims he moved to D.C. 4 years ago as of December 2022. He also claims to have participated in mail-in voting in Pennsylvania in 2022, having voted for Fetterman and others, open and shut case. So this liberal progressive jackass, this Democrat punk ass, brags about how he gets a letter from the Biden-Harris administration that he gets his $8,000 of student loans paid off while he's making six figures and lives in a more than $500,000 home. So he's doing fine, $48 a month, but didn't want to pay it.
and then shows the letter that he gets. Biden and Harris send you a letter saying, congratulations, Biden and Harris forgave your money as they're buying votes. This is all just despicable behavior. I mean, up one side and down the other, this whole thing is despicable behavior from Democrats. Then people dig into it and they realize, oh, wow, you're committing voter fraud. Wow. And he deletes the tweet and makes his account private. Isn't that something? In Pennsylvania, nonetheless, very important swing state. Incredible. Hmm. Isn't it just great? All right, we got another Jones clip to play. More from the epic Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones interview.
So clearly there's a lot more going on than science, as understood in 2024, can explain to us, obviously. And I've always assumed that was real because it clearly is real. But I didn't have much of a coherent theology other than, you know, I'm a Christian. I went to sort of a church that didn't mean it. I didn't quite realize how much they didn't mean it. But I'd grown up in this church and gone to its schools, and I was really steeped in the culture of the church, and my family was involved in the church going back, you know, a couple hundred years. So it was like, it was very much part of our family. And, but I didn't think about it very much. And really it was watching what's happening to the world that changed my view. I became convinced that some of these, I had watched political debates my entire life. That's what I do for more than 30 years. And while I disagreed with one side, I could understand their argument. You know, they would say, well, we need to have, I mean, I've always been totally opposed to abortion or killing the defenseless, really killing anybody, honestly, except in self-defense. But I could understand, you know, well, there's a 15-year-old girl who, you know, was pregnant. She got raped. And if you don't let her have an abortion, she'll never have a real life. And, you know, I disagreed with that because I think you can't kill people regardless of the justification. However, I thought that was a real argument. I mean, at least it appealed to the possibility her life would be improved. You wake up and all of a sudden people are saying, well, abortion is itself the point. Like having an abortion is just good for the sake of doing it.
That's right. The women say we love it. They say we love it. It's a religion. They're getting off on it.
Well, it's human sacrifice. And so obviously, I was trying because I'm a little bit autistic and very literal. I'm thinking, well, okay, what does that even mean? Like what?
You were trying to find logic.
This is very different. I was, and I'm a student of argument because I make arguments for a living. I spent years, you know, sending my kids to school and filling the fridge with arguing. That's what I did for a living. So I really am interested in how people construct arguments and in their nature. And all of a sudden people stopped making arguments on behalf of abortion and began holding it up as just like something that was just good for its own sake. And stop. They didn't even attempt to convince you that you weren't taking a human life. The presumption is that you are, of course, and with technology, we know that you are. There's no counter argument to that. And so they're basically saying killing people is a good thing. And I thought, well, that's just kind of a remarkable thing to say. And then I found out, because I was interested, that that is what every society has said in recorded history. Every society, from the ones that, you know, are very famous, the ancient Canaanites, the Mayans, the Aztecs, all the Mesoamerican civilizations, but also the Western European civilizations, my own, where my ancestors lived, you know, in the Nordic countries. They were also committing human sacrifice. There's something about killing other people ritually as an offering to the spirit world that is a constant through human history. Every civilization has done that. And so that raises the question, why? How would, like, that's such a counterintuitive conclusion to come to. I kill people. Like, so evolutionary biology tells us that the whole point of existence is to continue existence. It's to pass on your genes to another generation and then many more, right? That's the assumption that I had my whole life. And yet every civilization from the beginning of time has reached the opposite conclusion. We will be happier by killing the fruit of our womb, children, and we will be rewarded by the gods for doing this. Every single civilization has reached that conclusion without any exception that I'm aware of. And you have to ask, why is that? They didn't have the internet 5,000 years ago. How are they all reaching the same conclusion? And really the only logical answer is because some outside force was telling them that, right? That the spirit world is real and that there are demons telling people that you will be happier, that you will be safer, that you will be richer, you'll be more powerful if you take the life of a child.
At Real Alex Jones on X.
All right. Now, I do have some other news to cover before Jay Dyer takes over in the fourth hour. I don't have the time to play this full video, but it's a very important story out of Idaho. And it's just more of farmers, American farmers, being targeted. So they really want to centralize the food production, and they really want to centralize, or I guess you could say, maybe even put a monopoly essentially on where you can get your food. They don't want independent farmers. They don't even want just American small farmers. They want everything corporate, everything run by the federal government. It's part of why they're doing this fake bird flu scare. And it's part of why they're putting Amish farmers in courtrooms. And now they're finding new ways to attack farmers in Idaho. So here's briefly some of the farmers breaking it down.
Hey, Christopher, do you see this?
See what?
Well, we just got our curtailment letter. Idaho Department of Water Resources, and they're telling us we have to shut our 8 wells off.
Shut our water off? What for?
Oh, just a bunch of ridiculous stuff. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
So this is a letter that we just got. We didn't think we were going to be affected by this curtailment because most of our farm ground, all these sprinklers going back over here, most of our farm ground is surface water through canals. We do have 8 wells, but 2 of them are emergency wells. And I think we've converted, I think 2 or 3 more over to surface water, but we do use three wells to water our crops. So they want us to shut our water off. This is from the Idaho Department of Water Resources, and they want us to turn our wells off.
And it's not just us. So the Idaho water curtailment is affecting about 500,000 acres of farmland here in Idaho.
So the problem is, and why this curtailment is happening, is because down in Twin Falls, there's the Twin Falls Canal Company, and they were getting a little short of water. So in 2015, they came up with an agreement of how much water.
Right, so he goes into the details well here, users, but the point is, you've got these water restrictions. They have them in parts of Texas, California, everywhere. You know, you'd think that farmers, if anybody would be exempt, you know, you'd think farmers kind of the most important people that grow the food. You think, you know, maybe we let them use the water. Well, no, that now the whole restrictions are going to be used to attack farmers because you need to eat bugs because you're causing summers to be hot. Folks, if you can't see where this is going, you're just not paying attention. It's going there fast. It may seem like it's slow. Oh, it's one Amish farmer over here. Oh, it's one bird flu over there. Oh, it's new water restrictions over here. In the larger time span, folks, this is all happening within 1 or 2 generations, and there will be no more independent farming. And then the average American citizen won't even get access to a steak or a corn cob. So it's all about centralizing government control, centralizing food manufacturing, production. It's what it's all about, making you a slave. Because it's really hard to enslave somebody that can grow their own food. Meanwhile, some geopolitical news here. Ship attacked by Yemen's Houthi rebels and fatal assault sinks in Red Sea in their second sinking. It was carrying coal. I believe it was supposed to be going to Israel. Houthis used new weapons to sink MV Tudor in Red Sea, released video of blowing up Greek-owned ship. Now, there's kind of an outlier story here. And although Israel, for the most part, has gotten away with the slaughter in the Gaza Strip, there's been some people that talk about it in the International Criminal Court that has no teeth. But really, nobody has stopped them from doing anything. There's been some fights between Hezbollah and Israel in the north. But I don't even necessarily think that's over Palestine. But there has been a cultural impact and an economic impact. And there is a trade impact that nobody is really talking about. And so they're trying to have this blockade. And really, a lot of people are leaving Israel because they don't feel safe there anymore.
but nobody really talks about those aspects. Meanwhile, AIPAC, which owns your government, is bragging about how they own your government, but they have this ironic tweet blaming the UN for aid not arriving to the Gazan Strip. I mean, this has to be the most ridiculous thing. Israel and then AIPAC, who's just an arm of Israel, the U.S. arm that chokes us, is blaming the UN for aid not reaching Gaza. So Israel, the country that's blown the Gazan Strip to oblivion, killed 30, 40,000 Palestinians, women and children, including at least 250 aid workers, and have used food aid as entrapment to lure in Palestinians that they shoot and kill, and they're blaming the UN because the aid isn't arriving. I mean, this is just despicable crap. And really, it's the worst thing that could happen, because if anything is creating quote-unquote anti-Semitism, it's the action of Israel that's causing it. And then the arrogance to act like, oh, we're allowed to do all this and you can't question it. That's what's ticking people off. So it's their own actions that's causing this crap. And now they just brag. They just brag about how they own your Congress. Oh, it's a conspiracy theory. Oh, you're a tinfoil hat wearer. Well, what the hell is this? AIPAC. Another great election night for AIPAC-endorsed candidates. 11 more AIPAC-backed candidates advanced to the general election. 195 winners so far this cycle. And 100% of AIPAC-endorsed Democrats have won their races. Being pro-Israel is good policy and good politics. 195 AIPAC-endorsed candidates have won their primaries in 2024. That's from AIPAC. That's not somebody posting it or some anti-Semite or Jew hater posting that. That's AIPAC. They own the Democrats. They own the Republicans. They spend annually hundreds of millions of dollars to buy your Congress, and they brag about it. But if you say anything, if you notice anything, if you have a problem with that, that's hate speech. This is unreal. But think about it too. It just goes to show you, the most powerful lobbying group, which is Israel, where do they get their money, by the way? Why aren't they getting audited? Why aren't they registering as a foreign agent when they are? And look at what they do. They buy both the Democrats and the Republicans. They don't give a damn. The most powerful lobby in D.C. doesn't give a damn about policies that affect the American people. Open borders, closed borders, they don't care. Transgender surgery, no transgender surgery, they don't care. The most powerful lobbying group in D.C., spending the most money annually, only cares about one thing and one thing only, and that's loyalty to Israel, and they own your Congress, and they own the Democrats, and they own the Republicans, and they brag about it. They don't hide it. They rub it in your face. This should tell you everything. So, at the very least, they need to be registered as a foreign agent. But I would say they need to be audited. We need to find out where they're getting all of this money. I would bet you that a lot of the foreign aid or humanitarian aid or whatever, the billions of dollars that we give annually to Israel, I bet you that ends up right back in the hands of AIPAC to buy our politicians. Cut off all the funding now. Cut it all off now. I'll leave it at that. As Ukraine expands military draft, some men go into hiding. Yeah, there is really not much support for the war in Ukraine, folks. It's really devastating. Only the military-industrial complex and those that are laundering money and weapons with the government and the NGOs. And Ukraine is being destroyed. Ukrainian men are dying by the hundreds of thousands. But hey, the military-industrial complex is profiting, so it's good for business, baby.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, Vitality Enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out, or if you're an athlete, or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of brain force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
God came for the sinners. God came for me. I was a horrible sinner. I did terrible things. I beat people to death, did all the stuff people do. I was not a conscious Satanist, but I was prideful. I was a Luciferian. By the time I was about 18, I broke from it. And I'm telling you, Russell, you've done it. And they are so upset you've done this. We can see it on you right now. You are so alive. What is it like when you finally metamorphosized and were born again? Was there a moment it happened, or it happened in a process? And how would you, was it a baptism, or how would you describe, because I can see you're born again. What was that like?
Well, it was, you know, the kind of people that are willing to love you in terrifying times, it appears, are not exclusively Christian, but among them there are many Christians. And I didn't make no choice to, I didn't like individually say, what I think I'll do now is get baptized. I can locate for you some significant moments. A friend of mine, my mate Ralph, sent me the book Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. I'm reading that book, and I saw like some footage of Rick Warren talking about his son ending his life through suicide. And when I saw Rick Warren talking about that, I thought, wow, this guy bears no trace of being a highly regarded pastor and spiritual leader who's had the worst thing happen to him that can happen. His child has taken his own life. He's not carrying any shame for that. He doesn't seem to have a subtext of, well, I guess I'm not all that, because otherwise I'd have been able to prevent my kid from killing himself. He had no trace of that. Just openness and honesty and love behind the incredible grief that he was rendering. Then in that book, the first four or five words, it's not about you. Like the recognition, like, oh my God, I keep falling into self-centeredness. I find it so hard not to go back to self-centeredness. And my mate Bear Grylls, you know, like Bear Grylls from Running Wild and a former member of the SAS, you know, he said to me, we're getting baptized, you know, because in that book, it talks about baptism and belonging to a church and reading the word of God. And I'm sort of slowly, reluctantly, tentatively, and with great vulnerability and some resistance doing this. And then he says, we're going to get baptized on the 28th of April. And I'm like, oh, I'm not getting, am I getting baptized? Am I really getting baptized? Is that going to happen? And then, you know, he comes to my house. I live near the River Thames. And him and my mate Joe get in the river with the pastor that he brought with us. And I tell you, I felt like I was coughing stuff up. Like I felt like a real change in the little ceremony.
It was like an exorcism
for it.
It felt like that.
When
you made the decision I was a devil too. And when I made that move at about 18, I was throwing up. It was in my own room by myself, but it's real. You were throwing off all this energy.
Yeah, I feel like it gets on you, man. That stuff is tenacious. And straight after that, my friend cut his foot up in the River Thames, which is a pretty common experience, actually. And we had to go straight to, the emergency room, get my friend's foot stitched up, which Bear Grylls had done a pretty damn good job of binding, actually, because he is, after all, Bear Grylls. And then from that moment, what I feel like is I still feel vulnerable. I still feel tentative. I feel like the need for continual prayer. I feel like the need for continual communion. I feel like I want guidance. But, now I know Christ is real.
And for breaking news and updates, be sure and follow me at Real Alex Jones here on X.
Yes, we now know the virus is a hoax.
They included flu, pneumonia, and other infections to boost the numbers.
Let's find out who is really behind it all.
Like, President Trump is definitely behind one of these phantoms.
Xi Jinping?
Dr. Fauci?
Like, I thought doctors were supposed to help people, not scare them.
Microsoft's Bill Gates?
Not only a computer guy, he's a notorious vaccine pusher who wants to reduce the world's population.
I get it. So Bill Gates wanted to vaccinate everyone after Fauci convinced them there was a deadly disease outbreak. That's diabolical.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad.
Don't worry, kids. These globalists won't get away with their pandemic hoax this time. Where they're going, they'll be locked up for a long good while in the big house.
Yeah. Better than a rock round at home.
This is so, so important. Please remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're listener supported. Your purchases at InfoWarsStore.com allow this powerful, game-changing information on the air, and they're really great products. InfoWarsStore.com. Mineral Fusion sold out, but a little bit more is coming in a few weeks, so that's a bummer. But Nitric Boost cleans out your blood, still good for your heart, your brain, everything. It is back in stock, 40% off. There is, of course, a lot of other great products like the Ultimate Fish Oil, highest grade of fish oil at a great price. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, so good for your cardiovascular system, so good for your sleep. It's available as well at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. And while you're there, get 10-hour clean energy that is amazing. Turbo Force at InfoWarsStore.com as well. Get a copy of one of my two newest books, The Great Reset and the War for the World, and the newest one, The Great Awakening, The Plan to Defeat the Globalists and Launch the Next Great Renaissance.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, Jay's Analysis. Today I want to talk to you about something that I think will be very relevant in the coming years, and that is the push for the theosophy-influenced New Age movement to become a kind of world religion. We are already seeing the seeds of this, I think you could say, with elements like the Abu Dhabi Faith Center that the Vatican and the Grand Imam have promoted together, which is a multi-faith center that includes the major so-called monotheistic religions of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. But not just that, we also have a lot of other world religions that fit into this model, and it's engineered and tooled to be something that they want to roll out. So while I understand that ancient religions are not necessarily all engineered, what they're rolling out will be a new engineered religion that has the appearance of being ancient, that has the appearance of being perennial or, quote, traditional. And to understand this and where we're going, we have to go back into what they call the ancient mysteries. And I was on a long road trip, and I got a chance to read several chapters from the Cambridge Companion to Hermeticism and Mysticism. And they have a lot of excellent academic essays in this book. And the first one deals with the ancient mysteries. I wanted to share that with you because we have to really understand this to understand what they're going to roll out and what they're beginning to roll out now. And that will give us a template, really, to understand and to critique this New Age movement that is summarized in the idea of what they call Christ consciousness. And we hear this buzzword bantied about, and I'm going to go into the history of that as well, where it comes from, who was really the first to use it, and why, although the term itself isn't necessarily a problem, you know, there was a Jesus Christ, he did have consciousness. This is being retooled and repurposed into something odd, bizarre, that will fit into this theosophical New Age and ultimately even a Crowleyan agenda, as we'll see. If you go back to ancient Greece, and of course, obviously, mystery religions precede Greece, but a lot of what we know about today's history, what we have in the heritage of so-called Freemasonry, right, the idea of the ancient mysteries there is what's preserved from supposedly ancient Greece. And the essence of this religion relates to the worship of Demeter and Persephone, or the Great Mother, as well as the gods of Samothrace and other surrounding regions. At the time of the Roman Empire, the competing religion against Christianity was called the Mithraic cult. The Mithraic cult included a baptism with the blood of a bull, as well as other rites that kind of mimic, there was a kind of a communal meal that mimicked Christianity's communion. But we're going to focus on the Greek element of this, the ancient mysteries, known as the secret rites of the Eleusis, or the Eleusinian mysteries. The Eleusinian mysteries were a Greek ritual celebrated once a year at what they called the Telestrion. And this was a sort of a temple that was built in Greece. And it had an inner sanctum. And the inner sanctum housed a bunch of interesting religious fetish objects and items, such as a corn stalk, which represented the goddess in that she produces corn from the ground, and an image apparently of Dionysius. But what's fascinating about this is the entire week-long or so procession that was involved in the initiation into the Eleusinian mysteries, and what they engaged in as a kind of ritual initiation through what they call the Kaikion. And the Kaikion is believed to be a hallucinogenic potion very similar to the LSD as we know it today in terms of molecular structure. It is derived from the same entheogens, in other words. At least this is the scholarship's view of this. So although the hierophant of this religion, that's the leader of this religion, himself would invoke the goddess, there's an amazing secret behind this religion as to how apparently they were so successful in propagating this religion. And the Cambridge Companion notes that what would occur is a long, week-long procession. They would carry ears of grain and stalks of grain. I said corn. I should have said grain, not corn. That's in Native American. It's the same goddess who's the corn goddess. But for the ancient Greeks, it was the grain. And the carrying of this procession included the opening of the underworld. After the opening of the underworld at a cave, there would be a procession into the temple and into the inner sanctum where the people who were being initiated into the mysteries were brought in. They were given the Kaikion, which is the hallucinogenic drink, and then they would be surrounded by a cacophony of sounds, ritual dance, and the unveiling of the goddess, or as Blavatsky wrote, Isis unveiled. So although at that time it was Persephone, the same structure is mirrored with Isis kind of taking the place of either Demeter or Persephone, as the Cambridge Companion notes. So basically what we need is a shift away from what even the scholars call a phallocentric religion or a masculine patriarchal religion, away from that towards something goddess-related and something amenable to feminism. As you know, in the fourth hour, we've had many people on, from Tim Gordon to Rachel Wilson, to discuss the origins and history of feminism. And one thing that we noted throughout all of that was the tendency to move away from the idea of God the Father or God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to move into something more amenable to emotion, to feeling, to passion, to abandon, to frenzy. And that's precisely the kind of rituals that we see involved in the ancient mysteries. There weren't just the Eleusinian mysteries, by the way. There's others. But the fascinating thing here is that what apparently happened was that they would bring people into the inner sanctum, and right when they drank the Kaikion, when they became really when they were tripping balls, basically. Then the goddess would appear. So here emerges this Persephone or this Demeter figure. And we don't know exactly how that occurred. Was it some woman who just took off her gown? I mean, we don't know. Was it some other kind of machination, or was it actually some vision that they had through the hallucinogenic potion? We don't know, but at least that's where the scholarship thinks this went in terms of the ritual. There was also sort of an orgiastic sacred dance at times. There was the sacrifice of a pig that was a key point in this ritual as well. And that actually makes sense if you read the books of the Maccabees, because in the books of the Maccabees, which is in the Orthodox and Catholic canon, it's not in the Protestant canon, but it celebrates the rebellion of Judas Maccabeus against the Greek rulers over Israel, who wanted to defile the temple and oppress, and ultimately to get the Jews to become part of a Hellenic mystery religion. If you read 3 Maccabees, they even say that the reason that the oppression is occurring is to initiate the Jews into the mysteries. And at that time, the Jews were faithful and did not want to do that. And hence why the Maccabees texts relate sort of the history of the church or the proto-church. So you have this sacrificing of a pig, which again matches up to what I'm saying, that the Bible even corroborates this with the story of the Maccabees, because Antiochus Epiphanes is the one who wanted to sacrifice and did sacrifice the pig on the altar to defile it in the Maccabean period, the Jewish temple altar. And so we have this reference to the same type of praxis in extra biblical scholarship as well, in relationship to the Telestrion temple and the inner sanctum mysteries and the sacrificing of the pig and the revelation of Persephone and Demeter. And the companion notes as well that the direct Demeter and Persephone in this myth are the direct inheritance of the Egyptian story of Isis. And so what is the meaning of these mysteries? What are they really trying to tell people? The irony is that, at least in terms of the modern scholarship, is that this companion, at least, posits that the revelation was actually the idea that in the mysteries, what you're seeing is what the pre-Socratic philosophers taught, particularly Parmenides, that being itself is the mystery. Now, again, there could be some debate about this. We don't exactly know, but the theory, at least, is that the idea was that through this ritual, what you were coming to see, this direct perception, this direct vision, which, by the way, is the same mysteries and stories that are told in the later Neoplatonic tradition, whether it's Iamblichus or Porphyry or Proclus, the same idea is of a ecstatic union with the one, with the source, with the beginning, with the monad, whatever it is. This is called henosis, or ultimate sort of blending. So you sort of merge back into the primordial one or the primordial source. So in other words, the mysteries that the Eleusinians and the ancient Greek mysteries were containing, ultimately this principle that's in philosophy in Neoplatonism, a kind of an abstracted metaphysical position that you become one with everything. You become one with being itself. What does that mean? What is being itself? After this orgiastic frenzy, all the gongs and the music and the sacred dance, and when the trip begins to wear off, the initiate comes back believing that they have become one with everything. And if you've ever talked to any of the LSD, you know, DMT mushroom bros or whoever, everybody has this story. Oh, man, I felt like I was one with everything, dude. Like everything blended into me and I blended into everything, man, and everything was one. That's no new experience. It's actually the experience of all of the ancient world in the ancient mysteries. But what does that actually mean, though? What does it mean to be one with everything and one with source and one with the beginning of all reality? Well, ultimately, according to at least some of the theories, the mystery is just that you are God and God is in you. So look within, right? Know thyself, as the old saying goes. So the mysteries of Isis, the mysteries of Egypt, the mysteries of ancient Greece, although they include a lot of fanciful stuff, a lot of ritual and symbol, perhaps. The Orphic texts are another example of this, where it recapitulates the Neoplatonic journey of the soul back to the one. And ultimately, in this system of the Orphic mysteries, it's the journey of the soul away from the body. So the body is seen to be something that's bad, negative. It's an imprisoning thing. As Plato said, the body is the prison, soma sema. So you got to get back to the source, back to the one from which you originally emerged, and lose your kind of particularity. This is also, again, very prevalent, as you might imagine, in Far Eastern religions, the idea that ultimately we need to lose our individuality and particularity and be merged back into some gigantic amorphous blob of the one. And that's not an accident, because again, most of these ancient religions, whether they're the Far Eastern religions or whether they are the ancient mystery religions, kind of seem to have this core principle or truth, this perennial truth, we might say, that all, I'm not saying it's true, I'm saying their version of what it is, their truth is that we need to merge back into the one and achieve union with it and lose our individuality. The Orphic mysteries, though, are pretty fascinating because they actually relate a lot of what would become Platonic philosophy. And even the scholarship admits that there does seem to be at least some degree of origin, again, in the Egyptian mysteries. If you read Plato in the Timaeus, he relates the story of Solon, one of the Greek statesmen, going to Egypt and learning all of these, quote, mysteries from the Egyptians. And then he passes that down into Platonic philosophy, particularly the Timaeus, which is Plato's cosmogony, his, you know, origin of the universe, his history of the universe. But this is where we get these symbols that pop up in a lot of the ancient religion, or excuse me, in a lot of the mystery religion texts and works, which is the snake and the egg, right? This is the Orphic egg. And this has to do with the meaning of the eternality of the universe. So it appears, again, in the in Plato's Timaeus, because the symbolism there of the snake and the egg relates to the eternality of the universe, and that nature itself is kind of a snake eating its own tail, right? So it always gives birth to again to a new reality. The seasons and death come and eat it, and then it comes back. That, of course, is the whole story of Persephone and her descent into the underworld and to return. So in other words, they're all sort of recycling the same basic structures and stories to tell what, according to the scholarship is admitting, is just the idea that you yourself are ultimately God. If you want to know what God wants or what divinity is or what your life means, why, look within and decide that you yourself are God. That's interesting, because in the same companion, I read the Carl Jung chapter, and in Carl Jung's chapter, he basically says the same thing. Now, I don't want to go too far afield into Carl Jung, but I would like to point out that there are a lot of interesting insights in Carl Jung. So I'm not trying to say that everything that Carl Jung says is bad or useless or worthless or whatever. A lot of world religion, philosophy, and theology is very fascinating. They have a lot of insights. But for Carl Jung, sort of an archaeologist of ideas, what Jung wanted to do was reconstruct an archaeology of ancient religions and ideas into a new system that could be used to diagnose and treat people, called psychoanalysis. And by studying dreams, where he believed that these archetypal images were reemerging, what he called the collective unconscious, everyone he believed shared in this, tapping into this collective unconscious, where these archetypes would manifest in the dream process. He says, ultimately, the goal here is that you become yourself. So the telos, or the purpose of Jungian psychoanalysis and philosophy, is that all of these archetypes, which he said are, quote, real mental life forces, actually do have some real existence that you tap into and that you manifest in your life. And if you are out of whack, then you will sort of manifest these aberrations in your personality in your life through not having a successful integration of the dark and the light, the good and the bad principles. So for Carl Jung, the idea is that you integrate these things, the evil, or what we call, quote, evil, to become your higher self or your true self. All of the myths and the ancient myths of the world religions are manifestations and versions of this inner archetypal life of the subconscious that's portrayed and, again, incarnated, you could say, in all the world religions and all of man's recorded history in terms of, the myths. The myths are really just the manifestations of the inner dream state of the individuals relating the myths. So what's fascinating about that is that Carl Jung, by the way, I would add to that, Carl Jung was studying at the famous psychiatric institute, I think in Switzerland, called Bergolzi. And Bergolzi is interesting because it was a famous MKUltra institute as well. A lot of people think that MKUltra was only this, you know, limited U.S. program about mind control. No, it was actually taking place all over the world. Bergolzi was one of the places. In fact, if I recall, Jung was there at the exact same time as Dr. Ewan Cameron, and they were studying together. Now, I don't know that Carl Jung himself was actually working on any MKUltra projects. I'm not saying that, because we don't have evidence of that as far as I'm aware. However, he was working there at the same time as the other MKUltra doctors. And if you look up Bergolzi, it actually looks just like what you would think, a kind of a Hollywood image of a, you know, mind control, mad scientist facility would look like. Keep in mind, too, that Carl Jung was also known as Agent 488 because he was an operative for the OSS, the predecessor to the CIA, and there's cables and letters that are now declassified. They're actually part of Carl Jung's collective works between him and, I think, Ellen Dulles of what would eventually be the CIA. So that's relevant because a lot of people say that Carl Jung was working with and sympathetic to the Nazis, to Tiny Mustache Man. But no, that's actually not the case. He was actually working secretly as a OSS operative against the Nazis. But the whole purpose of why I was getting into this is that, as the Cambridge Companion notes, Carl Jung owed all of his philosophy to Basilidian Gnosticism and the ancient notions of alchemy. So basically, he just sort of concocted out of ancient Gnostic texts, which were an early anti-Christian sect, his own sort of religion that was like a psychological treatment process, a pseudo-religion, so to speak. And after Jung passed away, there were several successors, you could say, to the Jungian ethos, some of which actually became a kind of a quasi-cult, a quasi-religion. Others continued it in a more philosophical tradition and route. I think Henry Corbin is one of the well-known Jungian inheritors today. But the point was that Carl Jung came up with this idea as well, that he talked about a kind of Christ consciousness. I don't know that he was the first to use the term, but he at least spoke of this as a way to transform all of the symbolism of all the religions into what he perceived to be the ultimate, quote, Christ consciousness, which was not anything to do with dogma or the incarnation or the doctrine of the Trinity or the life, death, and resurrection of Christ or anything like that. It was rather a relativizing to psychologize God and Christian theology into basically a kind of self-help journey to make you your better self. That's interesting because, you know, a lot of today's pop people out there say the exact same thing. You could probably figure out who I'm... You could probably figure out who I'm talking about. You know, I see people over there listening and they're kind of cracking up over in the corner laughing, but they don't know that they haven't integrated their dark side yet. I'm talking about Jordan Peterson and others, right? And I'm not saying that everything Jordan Peterson says is bad. I'm just pointing out that the ultimate sort of system that JBP is utilizing, according to himself, is the Jungian ethos. Jordan Peterson says that he owes pretty much everything to Carl Jung. He's read all the collected writings of Jung. And this, again, this idea of Christ consciousness allows the replacing of Jesus and the doctrine of the church and Christianity to be psychologized and turned into a self-help kind of one-size-fits-all, make it into whatever you want, that ultimately makes you your own God. So notice that when we go back to the ancient mystery religions, the great secret that was revealed in the mysteries was that being itself is everything, and you are everything, you are being, and you are your own God, and look inside yourself, and you can save yourself. So are you noticing a pattern here? Because we're going to look at some other religions and cults that will play into this emerging world religion, and I think that if you want to find one common denominator, it's going to be this. It's going to be that the religion, the salvation here in this world religion that's emerging is that you are your own savior and you can save yourself. Let me read this brief section here to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Carl Jung was the son of a Protestant, and so he kind of had an initial animus against dogma and ritual. Rather, he saw the life of Christ not as a one-time historical occurrence, but rather as a kind of mysticism akin to Meister Eckhart or Jacob Boehme. The life of Christ becomes always and everywhere present as an archetype that's interwoven throughout all of humanity. This does not mean that there's any kind of sectarianism in Carl Jung. Rather, he wants to get rid of all traditions and deconstruct them, and rather have a kind of psychologized system to integrate different aspects of the person's psyche. In two studies, A Psychological Approach to the Trinity and the Transformation of the Symbolism in the Mass that Carl Jung wrote, he was later criticized for, quote, psychologizing all of religion. Jung responded that, quote, God for him was not something metaphysical or an ontological thing or a real thing. It was rather a kind of mental image, an idea that appears in the human psyche. Thus, he didn't want to make any theological pronouncements, but rather Christ is all and we are in him. He is everything. So notice that's, again, the Christ consciousness, which is so elastic to basically be anything and nothing at once, you see. And that's very useful. A lot of these new agey kinds of cults and religions, they'll use these very vague ideas and principles so that you can make them into whatever you want them to be. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Don't go anywhere. Be sure head over to the InfoWars store and get those.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity fit filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
And I'm sorry to give people the bad news, folks. It's all over. We need to get ready now. People need to go to KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. You need to get ready. This is the place to go. I love them. They're great sponsors. They're great people. Or you can call 720-605-3900. In my opinion, you are insane if you don't get into silver right now and get some gold. And I wish I could do it. I'm under enemy attack. It's okay. It's fine. And I'm just looking at all of you, wishing I was in the position you're in right now, because I wish this wasn't the case, but I intellectually and spiritually know I'm 100% right. And I think you all know it too. We are screwed. But the good news is humanity's waking up and we're going to turn this around. So buckle up, folks. Buckle up and get ready now, because the greatest crisis of all of our lives is happening now, and I'm just the watchman on the wall, the Paul Revere, telling you the new world order's coming. It's here.
I just want to acknowledge your leadership and your ability to see around corners. Again and again and again, you have been labeled as a conspiracy theorist and a nutcase for speaking the truth that you were able to perceive earlier than many people. And I'm in your debt, and I think we're all in your debt for your courageous actions over these many years. You've been vilified and denigrated and gaslit and everything else. I've received a small taste of what you've been through, and I don't like it very much. So I certainly appreciate and empathize with everything you've been through, and thank you for being the hero that you are, and not backing down in the face of all the crap that's been thrown at you.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win.
And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale is going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
What is it about Tucker Carlson that makes it so mad? Because you make a lot of predictions and accurate things, but you're even more strong. I mean, this is not an ass-kissing contest. We're talking about why the enemy hates us, because that's important to understand. What are we doing that can beat them? If they're trying to stop us, we've got something that can defeat them. So everybody needs to understand this. We need to understand this. What is it about you? I think it's that you are definitely genuine, very smart, articulate, and are able to reach out across political lines and unify people, and all you're trying to do is save civilization and our future. They call you a hater. They call you an extremist. CNN and the usual suspects, Brian Stelter's mini-me, Oliver Darcy is running around trying to get Ticketmaster to pull and shut down your tour. I mean, why are they so scared of you?
I don't know if they are. It's funny, so many levels. But I would say, first, I don't have any kind of prophetic ability. I wish I did. Most of my predictions are wrong. Occasionally, I will get a really strong feeling about something, and those turn out to be right, but not that often. From the first day, I thought there was something wrong with the COVID vax, and I didn't know what it was. I still don't really know. But I felt that very, very strongly, and I went with my instinct on that. Second example of that is the day the war in Ukraine started, I had an overwhelming feeling that this is a really, really big deal. It's not some regional war in Eastern Europe. This is the thing that resets civilization and potentially ends it. I really felt that strongly. And I think that turned out to be true. But most of the time, I don't have that ability. Again, I wish I did. I've never called an election correctly. I always get them wrong. I think the reason they don't like me is because I'm from that world. I really do think that's offensive to them. I mean, I'm not some like mega insider or something, but I am actually from that world. I lived in DC for 35 years. I worked at CNN. I worked at MSNBC. I worked at PBS. I worked at ABC. I know everybody involved in that world. I know a lot of, you know, government officials. I was always a big booster of Washington. I didn't really criticize the system. I sort of believed in the system. I thought some things that you said were really dangerous and scary. I've apologized for that. Turns out you were right. I was wrong. But I really was kind of like, I had my views and I was conservative, but basically I was a defender of the system because I thought it was worth defending. And it was only 8 or 9 years ago that I realized, wait, this is really dishonest and wrong. And a lot of the things that they're telling me are the mirror image of the truth. They're not just incorrect. They're an inversion. They're the opposite of the truth. And
well, that's my next question, and elaborate, but before I forget it, so you talked about your spiritual awakening. What was your political awakening? Because I remember like 12 years ago, you were going to come on the show. You'd attack me and stuff, which I understood. It was genuine. You know, you had real reasons for it. And I could get the things I was saying were so horrible that only a horrible person would say it when somebody is still projecting their own goodness onto things. So, but what was your then the last 12 years, your acceleration until now? I would say I watch your show every day when you do them. I think you say things most of the time deeper than what anybody else is saying. It's true. So what was the process of your awakening?
Well, it's kind of hard to know because you don't see yourself clearly, and I am totally lacking self-awareness. I mean, I can gain 50 pounds and not know it until my pants don't fit. Like, I'm not aware of myself very much. No, that's happened. So, but anyway, it's hard really to know, but I, you know, living in Washington in the same neighborhood for years, and I mean, I got there in high school. So, I mean, I really did. I felt like I was part of the city and of its culture and life, and I did not feel like an outsider there. I felt like a part of it. And watching people I knew personally who I'd, you know, stood next to at soccer games, like at that level, lie and sort of rather than defend what they were doing, attack the person who questioned it. I found that so low. That was so shocking to me to watch smart people become that defensive about what they were doing. that it opened up a chain reaction in my head. I was like, well, wait a second. If they can't defend something as simple as NATO, right, they couldn't defend, like, why do we have NATO? What's the answer? If you ask that question, they'll immediately call you a racist or a transphobe or whatever. They'll try to, you know, attack your character rather than answer the question. And just as a man, I felt that that was so disgusting. I mean, that's what children do. That's what drunk people do. That's what crazy people do. It's not what my Harvard-educated neighbors are supposed to be doing who are running federal agencies. So when I saw that at the beginning of the Trump, it was really about Trump. I mean, it wasn't actually about Trump the man, you know, but it was about that moment in 2015-16. And I just thought, well, I have an obligation to see what I think is true and to keep pulling the thread. And that happened to be exactly the moment that I got a new job at Fox and had a bigger platform. And I just thought, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to have this, but I'm going to tell the truth, you know, with the knowledge I'm going to get it wrong often, which I, of course, do. But I'm not going to lie, period. I'm not going to lie. And let's just see where this goes. And the more, you know, the more I did try and tell the truth just without any caveats at all, the bigger reaction I got, a negative reaction. Like, people really, really hated that. And then I just dug in and I thought to myself, I don't care what you do to me, actually. You know, my kids are grown. I just don't care at all. And I'm just going to say what I think is true. And then the next thing you know, I'm just like, I can't live there anymore. And everyone hates me and I feel sad about that. But I think if you're not, because I actually had a million good friends in D.C. who are good people. I still think they're good people, but they've gone crazy.
And for breaking news and updates, be sure and follow me at Real Alex Jones here on X.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. Jay's analysis. I want to remind you that if you're in the Las Vegas area, last chance to buy tickets. We'll be live tomorrow, June 22nd in Las Vegas. You can go to my Twitter, my X at the very top. I have it pinned there for you. You can access the Eventbrite link to get tickets. We only have a few left. It's almost sold out. So go ahead and get over there and get your tickets. If you're in this area, this region, and you'd like to come out to an epic 6-hour event, it's going to be a blast. We have multiple speakers, myself, Isaac Weishaupt, made by Jim Bob, my wife, Jamie, and others. It's going to be fun. Now, we're talking about these cults that play into the emergence of a new pseudo-religion, a new world religion, a new engineer-controlled religion that can promote the ultimate technocratic global governance agenda that they want. So whatever's useful in the ancient religions, ancient mystery religions, things like theosophy, things like Indian thought, Hinduism, Tantra, yoga, all of those things can kind of be packaged together in a cafeteria-style product that allows you to elastically make it whatever you want. I want to talk about one of these other cults that's very important that is a spinoff in a way from Madame Blavatsky's Theosophy Society, and that's, of course, Aleister Crowley's, his version of the OTO, which is something that kind of emerges out of German occultism at the turn of the last century, and Hermeticism and alchemy and Tibetan Buddhism and Tantrism. All of these were, again, kind of mixed together by figures such as Karl Kellner and Theodore Royce back in 1906, maybe even 1895. It's actually debated as to how early this society was. But the reason I'm picking this society is that it had a curious direct connection to the establishment through the fact that Aleister Crowley worked for British intelligence for a good while. He was known as a provocateur and a kind of an informant. He wasn't an actual agent, but he was more of a guy for hire, you could say. And he engaged in actually some anti-British propaganda on the part of the Germans in World War I, which we now know was actually his role as a British intelligence operative. And that's relevant, too, because he was also working closely with characters like Franz Hartmann, who, with Royce and Kellner, helped develop this original OTO society that would evolve into the Crowleyan society and the religion of Thelema, which is Crowley's specific religion. The religion of the OTO, again, borrowed from Freemasonry, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which preceded it. And basically it pulled from various perennialist religious texts like Hargrave Jennings' book, Phallicism. Another text that Royce wrote called the Lingam Yoni, which was borrowing from a lot of Hindu philosophy. And the decision was that the secret that they came to, was that all of religion is ultimately a sex magic ritual. So basically, if you want to understand all the mysteries of, say, Freemasonry, according to Royce, Kellner, and others, the secret of Freemasonry was really just sex magic. We know that Masonry, for example, is about the generative principle and the principles of nature, right? Seeds, product, production, life, the cycle of life. That's, again, going back to that Orphic egg and the Ouroboros that we mentioned earlier. But, for example, Franz Hartmann was a theosophist. And being influenced by Blavatsky and coming out of that school, that's fascinating because, according to Dr. Richard Spence, who, again, wrote the text on Crowley as an operative of intelligence, he also notes in another essay that he wrote that it looks like Blavatsky was an operative of intelligence as well. And if you know if you recall the lectures that we did from the Milner-Fabian text by Ioan Ratiu, the Romanian analyst, he points out that there's always this really close connection between the Royal Society, Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Rothschild Rhodes Milner circles, and the promotion of theosophy. So the origins of theosophy are not just as an organic, out of nowhere, you know, new religious cult mixing a bunch of things, but actually the elites of the British establishment. This would then be pushed in other regions throughout the British Empire and also pushed in America eventually through the United Nations. The United Nations eventually adopted what they called a trio of witch bitches. We've got Blavatsky, Bailey, and Bassant, three witches that they were chosen to be the representative expressions of what the UN considers the perfect future religion. This is why, of course, they created what was originally called the Lucifer Trust, and it's now known as the Lucis Trust. So they just changed the letter because the optics were a little bad by calling it the Lucifer Trust. But the ideas that are promoted through the Lucifer Trust are essentially also more or less, when you dig into it, identical to the ideas promoted in the ancient mystery religions, the ideas promoted by Carl Jung, and the ideas promoted by the Hermetic Order of Golden Dawn and the OTO. Ultimately, Crowley, when he became sort of the head of this group, after others who were less colorful, shall we say, Crowley decided that it was time for a new revelation. Crowley claimed to receive the Book of the Law as a revelation from an entity he called Iwas or Horos that ultimately he said was three gods that revealed this new revelation to him in Cairo, Egypt in 1904, known as Nuit, Hadit, and Ra-Hor-Kuit. This began what he called a new system of magic known as AA or the Argentium Astrum, and he published this in his periodical called the Equinox. This was the birth of the religion known as Thelema, a kind of, quote, scientific illuminism. Of course, it's not really anything scientific. I think he just utilized that as a kind of sales term because science was very popular at this time, or the notion of being, quote, scientific. Blavatsky did the same thing where she called her, her society, quote, scientific enlightenment. What Crowley did, though, was basically take a copy-paste template from a bunch of different religious traditions and, quote, wrote a bunch of new rituals and created a new church. He rewrote all of the society's rituals. Now, wait a minute. If this is an ancient thing, why is it all being rewritten and made up, right? This sounds more like a copy-paste template that's being used. But, in fact, this is what we see with all of these characters, right? You just take the ancient mystery religions and kind of rearrange and shuffle it around a little bit. Oh, boom, we've got a new world religion. But the three elements of this religion are the will, its intentionality, solar phallicism, that is the worship of the sun principle, and sex magic. And ultimately, those three things are also kind of identical. This solar phallic religion, again, is not organic. It's not anything new. It's a rehashing of the things that we heard earlier. Now, you might say, well, but wait a minute. I thought earlier you were saying that it was goddess stuff. Yeah, there's nothing antithetical to this society's magic that is against the idea of the goddess. It's just rather that Crowley said that doing butt stuff was actually much more effectual in a magical way than anything to do with the vajayjay, shall we say. And so the magic was much more powerful if you could turn it into something, Skittles, let's say. That's partly why the aeon, or the era that we're going into now, is a Skittles aeon. It's the aeon of the Skittles, we'll say. And I think you guys all know what I'm talking about. In fact, I saw a video of people who can't give birth that claim to think that they can give birth, and they were giving birth to butt babies, where they were actually spitting plastic babies out of their butt because they're men, and this was the way that they would, quote, give birth, until we get the situation like Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie Junior, where men can actually give babies. Do you remember the movie Junior? Like, remember Arnold gives birth? Okay, in like 1989, Arnold was telling us where we're going. Men are going to give birth in the new Aeon, in that movie with Danny DeVito. It's a ridiculous movie. I'm not actually literally saying that Arnold was telling us anything. I'm sure Arnold is all for all this. Get to the chopper, right? The chopper, get it? The chopper. Anyway, ultimately, aside from all the butt babies and stuff like that, the purpose of this religion is initiation into, quote, self-realization, where you decide and become your higher self. Wait a minute. That's exactly what Carl Jung said. That's exactly what the ancient mystery religion said. So ultimately, I'm just my own God, and I just merge with myself to become my higher self. So it's just self-worship. It's just worshiping yourself. It's just you are your own God. It's amazing how all of the religions are basically saying the same thing. Now, another cult I wanted to mention, another group, is another figure. I wouldn't say he has a cult per se, but he's one of the figures that's a modern version of the Blavatsky-Besant-Bailey trio that the United Nations promoted very heavily. I'm not sure if he's around anymore, but as an example and proof of what I'm talking about, that this wasn't something, you know, 50, 60 years ago, it's still ongoing. David Spengler wrote a book in 1978, reproduced in 2012. You can see it right here. It's called Reflections on the Christ. And this, again, is an official kind of a UN-promoted and sponsored book. And the second chapter is called Lucifer, Christ, and God. And I want to see what he says about Christ consciousness. Now, he's one of the figures that's key because he really promoted the idea of Christ consciousness beyond any degree that people prior to him, like Carl Jung, had done. So even though he's not the originator, and maybe it's not even Carl Jung, I'm not even sure who the first to say this, but Spengler says that in order that consciousness might have an experience of God, God manifests himself as a center. I think he means a center of consciousness. We would see it from this level then, that he manifests himself as a number of centers. When you actually touch the center and become united with that consciousness, you realize that there is only one center and that all reality has ultimately only been one. In manifestation, there appears then an infinite number because each one of us is centered in God. Every individual man is a microcosm of God because he is God. Interesting quote there. And again, that's all just, again, kind of repeating all the stuff that we've said before. He says that if you want to understand the history of mankind, energies of Lucifer, this is quoting him, we attract and we give what we want in terms of the energies that we are surrounded by. When the energies of Lucifer are used wrongly, it cuts you off from the outflow and it restricts the inflow of energy. This keeps us locked within ourselves. Wait a minute, I thought we want to go within ourselves to become our own gods. So why would we not want to do that? We can't grow until we break free from this pressure. When this great project of evolution of man began aeons ago, man went forth as a consciousness to discover his own divinity, and Lucifer went with him. Lucifer is just what this name implies. He is the bringer of light. His task was to give man those energies which would strengthen his inner being in light of the microcosmic world to be kindled, to burn ever more brightly. This set into motion a great spiritual indrawing, and the evolution of man actually required this. Out of the particular condition arose the negative states of what we call evil, quote unquote. There's a collective sense in which man sees himself operating outside of himself as an evil force. But of course, he's saying basically the evil isn't a real thing. It's our perception. Man was using the energies of Lucifer to do all this, and using these energies of Lucifer was then channeled to create evil. And since Lucifer is a great being who fully accepts responsibilities and his task and the energies that he releases, Lucifer also experienced within himself this incredible misuse of what he gave us. Over millennia, there was
there began to be built up an aspect of Lucifer which was plunged increasingly into isolation, because the ultimate effect of too much creative selfishness leads to isolation. This isolation then takes the form of a soul. So really this is a kind of a representation of a lot of Gnostic mythology and the stories of the fall of Lucifer and the soul of man being fallen. You find this in Origen, for example. All of this sorrow and pain that Lucifer experienced continues to be experienced because he is responsible for the energies that he releases into man's consciousness. And as long as man misuses these, the impact of that misuse rebounds upon Lucifer himself. If man descends into great inner darkness, Lucifer descends with him to keep giving man these energies, to give him enough rope to hang himself until man has said, I've had enough of this. And then he says, I want the light. Lucifer will give to man the products of man's negative creativity that he might learn the wages of creative responsibility. Man is thus his own Satan, just as man is his own salvation. So again, you're your own salvation. And these are really just, he says on the one hand that they're real beings, but then he says they're just projections of your psyche. Since the energies of Lucifer go to build up this thought form that we call Lucifer, or shall I say the shadow Lucifer, it can be identified with the thought form. And in this, there is some confusion. It can also be a collective thought form of love without fear. And then we can go forward from the shadow to find the true angel of light into man, to bring this into man's inner world. So this is a lot of gibberish, a lot of nonsense. But he says, if you want to come under the energies of Christ, then we find balance. Christ is the balance to Lucifer. So notice it's not choosing virtue and getting rid of vice. It's not getting rid of evil in our life. It's integrating and balancing out good and evil in ourselves. Again, the very thing that Carl Jung taught. Christ is the perfect balance of Lucifer. He is the centrifugal power force that balances out Lucifer's force. By the way, Carl Jung wrote a whole essay called Aeon, where he says the exact same thing, that Christ is the flip side of Antichrist. Antichrist is the flip side of Christ. Lucifer is the opposite of Jesus. Jesus is the opposite of Lucifer. And they both necessitate one another. This sort of dualistic philosophy is the essence ultimately of all of these perennialist traditions and world religions. And that will be the essence of the future coming world religion. Christ is the same force as Lucifer, you see. This is page 50 of Spengler's text. And he moves seemingly in the opposite direction. Lucifer moves to create light within one through the pressure of experience. Christ moves out to release that light, wisdom, and love into creation. Christ is the unifier and the same force as Lucifer. So notice between multiple different cults and even going back to the ancient religions, as Spengler says, and if you move on to page 53, he talks about Lucifer ultimately is the one that awakens us to the good. And so this is kind of a Gnostic reading of the fall of man in Genesis. The idea here being that if you didn't fall, you would have never known freedom and liberation. So ultimately, Satan, Lucifer, is a good guy. Yes, there might be a lot of evil that we experience, but that's all part of the integration process so that you can become your true higher self. So you see how everything is muddied and confused and flipped around and turned into its opposite. It's all contradictions. And really what it does is it allows you, as the individual person, to become your own God. And isn't that interesting? Because that's exactly what Satan says in the garden to Adam and Eve. He says, has God really said this? God doesn't want you to know these things or to partake of that because he knows that you'll be like him and he wants to keep you down. No, you see, you need to be your own God. You need to determine good and evil. Because you ultimately are your own God. So in other words, the very thing that Satan says in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve as a temptation, as a test, is the very thing that all of these New Agers and cultists and people are repeating, identical message. You can be your own God. You can determine good and evil. Look within. You decide these things. It's the exact same message. So underneath a bunch of ritual and garb and symbols and all this, we find the exact same message being taught of you becoming God. You are God. Look inside yourself. You don't need God. And that's why the danger of this world religion is not so much in specific doctrines that it's going to teach, but only in the doctrine that man is God.
And that ultimately is an antichrist religion. I don't know if we're in the end times or anything like that. I'm not saying it's the end of the world. I don't know that. But I don't have to know that if I can identify the exact same deceptive message of Genesis 3 and the temptation there with what's going on here in these New Age cults and religions. I want to remind you, too, that I have a new book coming out, Esoteric Hollywood 3, will be out very soon. You can go to my website, jasonalsa.com. Go to the shop. You get signed copies of Part 1 and Part 2. I look forward to Part 3, as well as my other books, like my 600-page book on geopolitics, philosophy, etc.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Naturally sourced from the finest hemp plants in America, Rebel Zen offers the absolute finest quality CBD available and at the lowest prices. Extracted using a cold-pressed technique to retain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids and terpenes within the plant, this full-spectrum formula ensures that your nervous system gets the full benefits of CBD. Premium quality organic CBD like Rebel Zen has been shown to naturally reduce anxiety, relieve pain, and decrease inflammation. People have reported a reduction in symptoms of insomnia, arthritis, seizures, chronic pain, and epilepsy. Several studies have shown it helps to reduce cortisol, increase serotonin, and boost vitality. Order yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.